much about. You gotta put it in perspective.
And now, let's officially get the festivities started. Priest Chen Huan, did I say that correctly? Chen Huan will be conducting the awakening of the dragon.
Zhao Zai Yan Ma Zai Jian.
What he said. Let's party!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Kevin, don't eat with your face.
Where is he from? Is he from outer space? Who is this guy?
I'm Lieutenant Frank Drebin, police squad.
I understand what you're saying, and I've always said that animals are animals, and that's why they're called animals. We're all animals.
Wow, finally, something in my life that makes me feel special.
That's awesome. Now, Richie, are you going to attend the award show on Sunday?
No, I can't.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Well, it's not all bad. At least you got a cherry coke.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What?
Roll another one.
I am so ready to have sex with you.
Just like the other one.
Yeah!
This one seems to be about to quit.
So weed every day.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
How dare you?
Roll another one.
Time to release the Kraken.
Just like the other one.
Pooh.
This one seems to be about.
I know, it's so perverted.
I don't have another sense.
God damn it, B! Ah!
What's up, Lisa?
Go Buffalo.
Just pass it around.
That's some kind of gay slur.
I think it's just straight out bitching.
Now.
What?
I know.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Friday, the 31st of January.
What's going on over there, Kevin?
I don't know. I walked in and Muggs is like, don't touch the microphone. I don't know why he's Chris Farley.
It is all honked up over there. It's all like sideways.
I have to be horizontal to be able to talk into it. I don't know. It's barely holding on.
I know how we always joke about how we come in and we have no idea what goes on overnight, but right. It seems like the K-Rock studio is falling apart. But literally, the K-Rock studio is falling apart.
Muggs was right? Like, the metal broke. Look! And then he showed me his dirty hands. I was like, I believe you. I don't need proof.
So, in other words, the arm that yes. holds the microphone just snapped. And so now, is it just precariously balanced on Mug's chest, or how are we working this?
Well, I mean, it's back where it's supposed to be, but it won't be for long.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I'd give it a half hour, and it's just going to just fall and be gone for good.
It's like those cars that are perched on the edge of a cliff.
Exactly.
They almost went over, and now they're right. just balanced. But at some point, they will go over.
You better not
That's
shift the weight.
No.
It's going to be bad.
All right, so don't move, Kevin. Just stay right where you are.
I'll do my best.
Remember the Grammy red carpet last week when I guess he was one of the guys in Slipknot, right? The clown that was on the red carpet that was terrorizing everybody. Everybody was all...
Yeah, I think so.
You saw his picture, right?
Yeah.
I mean, creepy clown.
Sure.
And I know that a lot of people are afraid of clowns, and I wonder sometimes if most of those people are really afraid of clowns, or is it something they just heard... People say, oh, I'm afraid of clowns, so they're afraid of clowns too, even though they're not really. You know what I mean?
Or like, were they little and they say poltergeist?
Yeah, I don't.
Well, maybe that. I just wonder how many people are really afraid of clowns, point.
But why would you say you're afraid of clowns if you're not?
Yeah, your wife's
because
afraid of clowns.
Because it makes sense.
Because it becomes the common wisdom at some point. For instance, lots of people say they hate fruitcake that have never had fruitcake. as an example, because the common wisdom is that fruitcake sucks. So people go, oh, I hate fruitcake, but they've never tried it. And I wonder if it's the same thing with clowns, is people just hear that people are afraid of clowns and they wonder if, you know, then they think that they must be afraid of clowns.
Okay.
And I bring all that up to say this. I know that there are some people afraid of clowns, but this story out of Australia, there's a clown on the loose in Melbourne who is being driven around. He has a driver. He's being driven around and he's flashing a weapon. He's got a gun. He's flashing a gun at people that come up next to him in cars.
Okay.
Now, you're already a clown, okay? You're already terrifying enough just being seen out in the wild. Now you've got a gun. This is like a lot of people's worst nightmare ever.
A clown with a gun.
Hey, doesn't that sound like Ralph's next movie on the Sci-Fi Channel?
That's the name of my autobiography. I hope you all pick it up.
The clown has been spotted in at least two different cars and works with an accomplice who acts as a driver. Early Tuesday morning, the clown got out of a passenger seat of a light-colored Toyota Camry and started following a woman on foot until another car came by and scared him off. Then a few minutes later at a stoplight, the clown rolled down his window and threatened a 25-year-old man with a gun before speeding off. Not long after that, a 31-year-old male jogger ran past a Mitsubishi Magna. Inside was a clown pointing a gun out the front passenger window.
What's happening?
Police are trying to identify the clown.
Maybe it's a gang. Wouldn't it be awesome if it was a clown gang?
I think that's called Insane Clown Posse. Isn't that the clown gang, according to the FBI? But it's just like you would think that being a clown would be enough. Whatever rocks you're trying to get off by terrorizing the fine citizens of Melbourne, it seems like being a clown is enough. You don't need to also introduce a gun to the situation. But what do you suppose this is about? Like, what's this dude's deal?
I don't know.
I have no way of knowing.
He just wants to terrify people.
I love it, though.
I mean, someone with a gun is terrifying, but I have to – and I'm not afraid of clowns. But you put a clown in front of me with a gun, I think I'm even more afraid.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe they're getting everybody.
Yeah.
They get the people who are afraid of clowns, and then people who aren't afraid of clowns, they've got a gun.
Yeah.
Now, and I wonder if it's just – yeah, that's true. That's now they're hitting 100% of the people. I wonder if it's just the anonymity of being able to look at that clown and have no idea who that person is and what are they hiding.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if that's where it comes from. But anyway, as I always say and then never follow up on, because there's usually not a next story, I will keep my eyes open. And if we do find out more about the clown with a gun, I'll bring it to you. I'll let you know.
Clown with a gun has been added to Coachella.
I hear they're excellent.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
So what are you doing here today?
We are doing a morning radio show that includes Cousin Sal on the program.
Yep.
With his final pick for the NFL as the Super Bowl is Sunday. What's his record now, Bean? Is he about 50-50?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I did see another, for some reason, it's become very popular to have animals pick the big game, and I did see there's a monkey, I think, or a gorilla or something named Eli at some zoo, and he's gotten the last six right, and he made his pick yesterday and picked the Seahawks. So we'll see what Cousin Sal agrees with the monkey.
I don't know. At first, I hate those people. I hate anybody that's going to go, I have a rabbit, and it's going to pick the Super Bowl. Stop it. Stop doing that.
I don't get it either.
Stop it. Your rabbit is not picking anything. You got a 50-50 shot.
Right.
But now it just seems like every animal is being used for that.
Yes.
It's almost come around full circle where you go, all right, well, now I got to pay attention. And what's the monkey pick? Because I got to put that into my equation.
I know that there were people that were sad this year because apparently there was a llama in New Jersey who had a pretty good track record, too. He'd gotten like, I don't know, 9 out of the last 10 right or something like that. And he died in the offseason, or I should say during the football season he died. So he wasn't around to make a prediction this year. And people were like, oh, what are we going to do? We have the llama.
It's happening. Movie beat, because it's Friday. We have the referee for the Buffy Bowl.
I'm sorry,
on the program today.
What was that?
The referee for the Puppy Bowl.
Oh, the Puppy Bowl.
And he has a very tight schedule, which fascinates me.
Yes.
Like, I thought we would be the only ones dumb enough to talk to him. He's got a solid lineup of interviews today. We hit him on
timer.
I know
you hate the Puppy Bowl, Kevin.
We hit him on timer. We don't get him.
And I don't watch it either, so I'm not defending the Puppy Bowl.
You watch it.
I don't. But millions of people do watch the Puppy Bowl. I'm not surprised that the ref is in demand. A lot of people have a lot of interest in the Puppy Bowl.
Just let it
go. And the rules of the Puppy Bowl.
Yeah, well, have they made rule changes? Is that what we need to find out?
Yes.
I guess so.
You were detained at the airport. We'll talk to you today on the Kevin and Bean Show. And Dada Life will be here. Very excited about that. I don't know. Oh, well, I do know that you didn't see Bean on your way in, that there's a guy out in front.
I think there's two, but I'm not sure.
Well, there's going to be a lot more by the time they get here.
Yeah, I know. Dressed in a banana, full banana costume. And he's just sitting there by himself. And when I came in at 5:25, he was just – it was just sad. It was – he was probably happy to be there, but he had his head was – I'm not sure he was alive. His head was tilted over to the side, and he was just out cold.
He looked really freezing, too.
It was – yeah.
Yeah.
Look, a lot – if you're at a rave with a lot of people dressed like a banana, it's a party. If you're one banana sitting on a bench, that's not a party.
That's not a party, no. Yeah.
That's sad.
It's a sad little thing, but he'll be happy, you know, when the band shows up later – the band, the DJ show up later today.
I guess. Right. He'll see him for a second.
Oh, it's going to be a parking lot party. There's going to be a lot of people. Dotto Life is amazingly popular.
And they have contests going on all the time where they're giving away stuff. And they announced that this is one of the places that they were going to give away some clues. So little banana guy just sitting out there waiting. It's going to be a little bit of a wait, though, as Dotto Life will be on the show, but a little bit later on this morning. Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Don't touch anything, Ralph. Keep your hands to your sides, okay?
My microphone's fine, man. This side of the table's just fine, thank
you. For now, this place is going down. Hey, time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Friday. Here's Ralph.
Hey, Gung Hei Fat Choi.
What? And to you as well.
Gung Hei Fat Choi.
Right. I agree.
You don't know, Kevin.
I do know.
What does that mean?
Means you want some fat choy.
No, it means Happy Chinese New Year.
Oh, is that today?
Today's the Chinese New Year.
Mm-hmm.
Gung Hei Fat Choi.
Yes. Is it the year of the cock yet, Ralph?
How dare you?
Well, I'm not sure which year it is. I haven't been paying attention to the Chinese New Year.
The year of the horse.
Oh, it's horsey time. Okay.
47-11.
Okay. I don't know what you want me to do with this info.
I want you to celebrate like it's New Year's Day. That's what I want you to do. Oh, man. Snake just flew by, didn't it?
Last year was Snake?
Yeah, the year of the snake.
You still writing Snake on your checks, Ralph?
I think I won the night.
Johnny Depp is hoping
guilty.
He's not charged with anything.
Oh.
He's hoping his fifth engagement will be the magic one. This is the thing. Apparently he's very much in love with his fiancée Amber Heard.
Well...
sources tell Us Weekly magazine that Johnny has told friends that Amber, wait for it, stimulates his mind in ways that nobody else ever has.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. It's your mind.
Ralph put that in air quotes.
She's stimulating Johnny Depp. She's all about the cerebellum. Her whole world is built around thoughts.
I love her. She's the best. She should be with me.
Yeah, that's hot.
She's way hot. Have you seen the trailer, by the way, for 3 Days to Kill?
Yes.
The new Kevin Costner movie.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of a secret agent who comes out of retirement to take care of some old grudge, some terrorist or something. And I believe she's like the CIA boss or something.
Love it.
She's like... you have to take out the terrorist because it's really dangerous.
Love it.
Like, what? In what world?
She is, if I remember correctly, Ralph, she's almost exactly half his age, Johnny Depp's age, which is, you know, that lends a lot of credence to his remarks that it's the brain he's after.
It's all about sharing thoughts and ideas, people.
Because people that are half your age are the smartest people you'll ever meet.
People who are half your age are people. Jennifer Lawrence, she's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next story.
That's it, yeah.
No, according to the National Enquirer, Jennifer was out on her way to lunch when she spotted an older homeless lady and invited her to come along to have lunch with her.
Huh.
The homeless lady reportedly refused because she would not leave her grocery cart behind. So, J-Law just whipped off a 20 spot and said, well, get yourself some lunch on me then and have a great day. That's nice.
That is nice.
How relieved was she, by the way, when she took the 20?
Thank God. Oh, I was being nice, but I'm just sitting across from her at Denny's.
How people feel when they're sitting at the counter with Bean.
Yeah.
Here, just let me pay your check. Just don't talk to me anymore about the Edmund Fitzgerald, would you please? Hey, you know what's hot now is polygamy. Everybody's doing it. All the kids are loving the multiple wives.
I think it's still illegal.
Well, yeah, for now.
Right.
That's what they said about gay marriage, too, man. But it's coming around.
Okay. Everyone's doing it?
It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Louise and Mary and Joan and Bethany and Rachel. Sister Wives on TLC. Huge hit. Huge hit for that network. That's the guy who has four wives, I think. Four wives?
Yeah.
That guy's an idiot. I don't even know the story, but...
He's exhausted, I'll tell you that much. My wife watches it, fascinated by it. Fascinated.
Really?
Constantly watching Sister Wives. I'm like, what is he thinking?
Yeah, no kidding.
That is not an upside for a guy to have four families going on at the same time. They have like 17 kids amongst them. The youngest one, I was walking through the living room, and it caught my eye, and I'm watching. The youngest one, most recently... Went to the hospital because her kidneys were failing because she was so dehydrated. 3-year-old dehydrated. You know why? Because we have 17 kids. You can't keep track of who's drinking juice and who's not.
Yeah.
This kid was just on her own for a week and no one noticed that she wasn't getting enough fluids.
Just in a closet. No one couldn't get out. No one could tell.
Well, anyway, it's such a big hit for the network. They're adding another show called My Five Wives.
Oh, my gosh.
That will roll out on Sunday, March the 9th, featuring Brady Williams, the husband, and his five wives, Paulie, Robin, Rosemary, Nani, and Rhonda, and their 24 children.
Come on.
This show is better because two of the wives, Robin and Rhonda, are cousins.
All right.
So you really get everything.
Throw
a little Duck Dynasty in there, and then you get some magic. Speaking of the Duckers, Duck Dynasty fans are a little bit happy. Ratings bounced back a little bit this week, going from 6.6 million total viewers to 7.5 million, 13% better than the previous week's episode, despite its minor trail off from its season premiere of 8.8 million viewers. Duck Dynasty is still Wednesday's second highest rated show, ranked only behind American Idol.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Hunting dove.
One of
my favorite things.
Hunting doves. It's one of my most favorite activities. Because doves are the filet mignon of the sky.
Yeah. What would you know about filet mignon?
I don't watch the ducks, but one of the guys in his red, white, and blue bandana was at the State of the Union speech on Tuesday night.
All right.
Sure.
And senators, congressmen, distinguished guests just lined up to get their picture taken with him, shake his hand. He was the biggest celebrity in the room.
Is Uncle Si here? They were asking.
Yeah, possibly.
This is our world, people.
It is.
Marcus Mumford of Mumford and Sons.
I'd like to correct you, Ralph. This is their world that we live in.
Yeah, right. Marcus Mumford of Mumford and Sons celebrates his 27th birthday as we kick off the celebrity birthdays. Justin Timberlake's 33. Actor and funny man Bobby Moynihan is 37. Kerry Washington, also 37. Actor-comedian Paul Scheer is 38. Portia de Rossi from Arrested Development, 41 years old. Minnie Driver celebrates her 44th birthday. I miss the Riches. Remember the Riches?
It was a great
Minnie
show.
Driver, Eddie Izzard.
Yeah. I love
great
that
show.
Series.
Kelly Lynch is 55. Also, Anthony LaPaglia celebrating his 55th birthday today. Kelly Lynch, by the way, just to back up for a second, she was the female lead. Probably you know her best from Roadhouse, I guess. She plays the doctor that stitches up, that falls in love with Patrick Swayze in that
right.
film. Done a ton of movies. Beautiful woman. Saw her recently on a flight out of Los Angeles at 55. She's stunning. Stunning
really?
At 55. Good genes. That's the way to go. Anthony LaPaglia is 55 years old today. Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols is 58. And the man himself, the man, the myth, the legend, KC, if you will, of Casey and the Sunshine Band, Harry Wayne Casey is 63 years old today.
Do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight?
Yeah, that's the guy. I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
The band Dada Life is going to be joining us. Well, I did the same thing you did, Kevin, called up a band. The DJs Dada Life are going to be here coming up later on this morning on the Kevin DeBean Show. Cousin Sal predicts who will win the Super Bowl. Please let it be the Seahawks. And we'll talk to a ref from the Puppy Bowl coming up in about a half an hour. First, though, it's Friday. Ralph is here. It means it's time for the movie.
In a world someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Hey, come on. Seriously.
Hello? I thought your mic was working.
Come on.
That was user error.
Why not turn my mic on?
Well,
considering the whole thing with the movie beat and all.
Well, you are hosting the movie beat, if
right.
That's what you mean.
That's what I'm saying.
And so you need to be heard.
You'd think that that would be an indicator maybe to turn the microphone on.
That thought process did not work inside my head.
Just let it go.
Just let it go.
Three new movies coming out this weekend in your Southland Cineplexes. Hard weekend to open a movie.
Yeah.
How come?
Super Bowl.
Oh, Super Bowl, sure.
Yeah.
Does everybody avoid it then?
Well, not everybody.
Okay.
There's three studios here that thought it was a good weekend.
Okay.
But I'm just thinking...
Or are they throwing things
counter-programming, for example.
Okay.
If you're a lady...
Yes.
With your lady parts, you may not be watching the Super Bowl. So maybe you and your lady friends will got to see a lady movie. Like Best Night Ever. Claire is about to get married, and she goes to Las Vegas with her sister and her two friends for a bachelorette party?
Nope.
Oh, and let me tell you, things spiral right out of control when they get there to Vegas for the bachelorette party. Yes, finally, someone has tackled
what
the crazy bachelorette, bachelor-slash-party in Vegas theme.
Why
for
did
a movie.
Nobody think of
well,
this before?
Why didn't nobody think of
girls,
this before?
Girls, are we missing that point? Girls, it's completely different.
Yeah.
Remember Bridesmaids?
Girls.
Here's some clips from the trailer of Best Night Ever.
Are you really going to film everything?
Yeah.
Hi, Claire.
Trust me, one day you'll watch this and thank me for capturing your last night of freedom.
Give me all your jewelry.
Come on.
I'll take the ring, too.
He victimized us. And now it's time for a little payback.
Let's get my ring back.
I think it's time we ditch the stolen vehicle.
Pull over right now!
I can win!
Did I win?
I may have to watch the Super Bowl.
Woo!
Wow.
We win.
When Lisa turns on it.
That was bad.
Don't you say to whoever you're making a movie with, once you start making a movie about a crazy night in Vegas at a bachelor or bachelorette party, no.
But you guys loved Hangover.
Yeah, but...
And it had already been done a million times.
Not really. Not to that extent.
It seems
but Hangover
tired to
has
me.
Been in has the last, been. What, 5 years? Six
yeah.
years?
Well, there has been three of them.
Three of
I'll give you that. And then you had Bridesmaids, which was the female answer to Bachelor Party.
Which was great.
And then
which
you had...
great.
Last Vegas.
Or Las Vegas, whatever
right,
they call that
old,
one.
Old Bachelor.
Right. Old people, right, yeah.
I think we could move on from that.
Then there comes that awkward moment. Wow.
Wait, ooh, that's the name of a movie?
Yes. This is the Zac Efron, Michael B. Jordan film about three friends who are dating women, and it's hard, and... one guy breaks up, so all right, we're all going to be single because you're single, buddy. And then, oh,
wait.
But I've fallen in love with this girl. But what are we doing? We're just having sex, but oh, I'm falling in love with her now. It's all different, my feelings.
Wow.
This looks god-awful. Here's a scene from the film where one of the friends and one of the other guys who's not Zac Efron give Zac Efron a hard time for seeing a girl twice in one day and buzzing her up to his apartment.
You can't invite a girl to a place like this.
I didn't invite her.
That's worse.
That's some girlfriend.
I'm going to buzz her in.
Jason, look at me. Don't buzz her in.
Don't
buzz her in, man. We're having such good guy time right now.
I just buzzed her in.
He buzzed her in.
He buzzed her in.
Okay. Really?
Okay. Both of you guys need to calm down.
We're not supposed to see him more than twice in 1 week, all right? And you're seeing this chick twice in one day.
Dude, relax.
Invite her up then, man. She's not going to talk about Xbox. I'm going to be sitting here being like, oh, I have to fart, but maybe I can't right now.
That's, is that real?
Yeah, that's a movie.
And it's going to be in theaters.
Yeah. How many years ago was Swingers?
Right.
Oh,
same.
Wow.
Sounds like exact same thing.
Yeah. Sweaty?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Maybe when you're making that awkward moment, you go, oh, wait a minute. You know what? Swingers exists. And they did that whole thing about, oh, you shouldn't call her, you know, you gotta wait.
Days to wait.
Yeah. And it was really good. It was Vince Vaughn and Jon Favreau, and they're really talented, and they wrote it, and it was excellent. And
This is a double feature in hell so far today.
Man, it's rough. But we're saved.
Okay?
We're saved.
Where's my action movie? What do you got?
No, there's nothing for you, Loudy.
All right.
Nothing for you, loud boy. Just this great movie directed by Jason Reitman, who, by the way, if you look at his film career, guy hasn't made a misstep yet, this guy. Crazy.
Yeah.
Up in the Air, remember George Clooney?
Love awesome. That. Yeah.
What was the other one he did? Juno? Wasn't that his, too?
Jason Reitman? Yes.
Just a super talented guy. It's called Labor Day. Kate Winslet, her performance in this film was getting award talk before the movie even came out. That's how good she is in this. Josh Brolin. Clark Gregg. We love Clark.
Sure. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep. Kate Winslet plays a depressed single mom with a young son who is so paralyzed by her depression and losing her husband that she really barely can leave the house. She is agoraphobic and pretty much stays sequestered inside her home to the detriment of herself and also her young son. So she's trapped inside this house by her own panic, depression. And then there's an escaped convict, played by Josh Brolin, who gets out of prison, is desperately hiding from the police. He, through a series of events, ends up basically kidnapping Kate Winslet and her son just to have a place to stay to avoid the police until he can get on the run. And this odd pairing, somehow they find love together.
Nope. No, it's ridiculous, right?
No, it's not at all.
It looks really good.
It looks amazing.
Maybe they did it well, but the explanation, if we were to say that before Ivan Reitman had it, you'd go...
Or Jason, even.
Jason, yes. Even, yeah. You would think it was a dumb idea.
No, I wouldn't.
All right.
Josh Brolin, in this scene from Labor Day, tells Kate Winslet that he's going to make a run for it at this stage in their relationship because he can't go back to prison.
How far are the train tracks from your backyard?
20 minutes, maybe.
People come over. Often, randomly. Friends, salesmen, or religious people.
I'll make a run for it tonight, and I can stay out of your way until then.
I mean, they'd notice if I went quiet. Even for a little bit.
I just escaped from prison. The last place I want to go is back.
I'm stronger than you think.
I don't doubt that.
And I won't let anything happen to my son.
He's in good hands.
He's just staying there for the day until he can make a break for it at night. But then something develops between the two of them, and it changes both of them. He's a guy who can't go outside because of the cops. She's a guy who can't go outside because of her own fears and panic. And together, they find some common ground.
See?
I understand.
You don't understand.
Oh, I do. I understand fully.
You don't get it at all. This movie looks terrific, and it's getting rave reviews. Performances both by Kate Winslet and Josh Brolin are being talked about.
Is it a limited release?
I believe it's wide, Lisa.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, I think you can see Labor Day in a lot of theaters this weekend. So if you're going to go to the movies, I'm suggesting that might be your choice. Or you can watch Not Bridesmaids or Not Swingers. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Come on.
I know it's hard to tell, but that's not the band. That's Bean.
Yeah.
Right? Doing a parody of that song. And I think
that wasn't a parody. That was a straight out singing. Me doing the Bastille song is what that was.
Oh, okay. I see.
I can see how it'd be confusing, though, because it does sound identical. Speaking of parody songs, I don't know what the heck is in the water this week, but there's something weird going on because two things have taken over the internet this week, and they both involve popular K-Rock artists. One is this Abracadabra LaFornia. Have you guys heard the song that's not really the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Bring a bong, Burbank, giggly, 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 Glendale.
So that's thing one, and that's from comedian John Daly, who we'll be talking to at 8 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The other one that came out just yesterday that everybody is raving about around the globe is a song called This is a Trent Reznor Song. Freddie Scott, the man who made the song, is on the phone. We're going to talk to him in a second, but I want you to listen to a little bit of this. This will blow your mind. Kevin, you'll love this too. Listen.
I am Trent Reznor. This is how I write songs. Make all my verses sound like this. Then I throw in some random percussion.
Right?
So that you can dance to it. Weird guitar.
sounds like so many United Sales songs.
It does.
Then my voice starts getting louder. Then I bring it back down. It's almost time to hear the chorus. But first let's listen to this weird sound. What the hell was that?
All right, let's talk to Freddie, and then maybe we'll play the end of the song, because it ends exactly like you want it to. Freddie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you? Good.
Quite well done.
Congratulations. It's unbelievable. I mean, it just has everything going, because it's so funny, but it's also so true. You must tell us the story behind This is a Trent Reznor Song.
I think it's a little less epic than it sounds. I honestly was going to Whole Foods Tuesday morning to buy some breakfast, and I was actually listening to Nine Inch Nails. I was driving home singing along to a copy of a copy of it, which is a song off their new album.
That they did on the Grammys, right?
Yeah, they just did on the Grammys,
yep.
And got cut off,
yep.
Unfortunately. But I was driving back. I thought it'd be funny. I wrote and recorded this in 2 hours and posted it on my Facebook and Twitter, and then now I'm getting messages from people in the Czech Republic that I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, I saw how it was flying around yesterday. I mean, Spin Magazine and Rolling Stone and then NME in Britain, and you're right, every continent now has weighed in on this. Now, what has the reaction been? Is it the same as ours, which is just, oh my God, we're blown away by how good it is?
I'm really happy to report that out of, I don't know, it's got like 156,000 plays or something. I've only had maybe 8 haters.
Wow.
So far. Yeah.
And were those people, great, do you sense, who were like hardcore crazy Trent fans who thought you were making fun of him?
It's not actually the hardcore Trent fans, because I'm getting messages from people that are like, I'm a Nine Inch Nails freak and I love this.
Yeah, that's what the same, right, with me. They're a great band. I love most of what they do, and this song is awesome.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it's just guys that want to, you know, be bad on the internet.
Sure. Right, just internet haters, because they're haters for everything, exactly.
Yeah,
you could
basically
put up pictures of a basket of puppies and someone would find something bad to say about it. What's your deal, Freddie? Because I sense from looking at your Twitter that you are actually a comedian as well.
Yeah, I write a lot of comedy. I kind of do a lot of things, so this kind of culminated in a bunch of random stuff that I do.
Well, let's listen to some more of the this is a Trent Reznor song, which, by the way, we have tweeted out at Kevin and Bean. It's also on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, and you can certainly find it everywhere on the net if you can't remember that. But listen up a little bit more of Freddie's work. It's great.
This is a Trent Reznor song. Sometimes it's very long. It can go on and on, but it's very awesome. This is a Trent Reznor song. Yeah, it's still going on. Seriously, it's the same song, but it's very awesome. This is a Trent Reznor song. Sometimes it's very long. It can go on and on, but it's very awesome. This is a Trent Reznor song. Yeah, it's still going on. Seriously, it's the same song, but it's very awesome. Let's end the song with creepy piano. Now it sounds like a haunted house. Let's end the song with creepy piano. Yeah, that sounds really awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, there it is. This is the Trent Reznor song. That's what you can do with 2 hours if you put your mind to it. Freddie, great job, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56.
We got one of the refs for the Puppy Bowl coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock, by the way. This is his third year doing the Puppy Bowl, so he's got to be good at it, right?
Well, you get the good refs, man. You want to hang on to them.
Yeah. Sure
you
do,
because, you know, it can really change the game. A blown call one way or the other can make all the wrong team of puppies win the Puppy Bowl.
I hope this isn't going to be another one of those years where the victory is clouded by poor officiating. That's my fear. You don't want the refs involved in the outcome of the game, right, guys?
That's correct.
Right. That's correct. Anyway, that's coming up first. The Rouse got the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday.
Speaking of the Super Bowl, which, of course, the Puppy Bowl airs during the halftime of. This was interesting to me. Very interesting. Okay, would you like to know about
Well, yeah.
I was hoping there's more. Old Spice. I love their commercials. They're very creative, and they do a bunch of cool stuff. And they've got a strong online presence as well. They've got some viral ads that they put on the internet that aren't available on television. But if you find them, you watch them, you're entertained by them. They had one, which was for their hair care products. It said, hair. The point of the commercial was hair that closes the deal for you. Hair the ladies will love, and they will be so impressed by your hair that you'll score.
Right.
And so the guy's in a business meeting looking across the table from the conference table with a beautiful girl on the other side. And he's looking at her, and his hair literally comes off his head, falls on the table, and then goes across to her and starts flirting with her. And she's so impressed by his hair that she writes down her number on the legal pad for him, for the hair to have.
All right.
Now, that the number on the legal pad wasn't your usual 555-555-555-555 number, like your TV number. It was an actual phone number.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Working?
Well, that's what somebody wanted to find out. They said, I wonder what that phone number's for. It looks like a real phone number. I wonder what happens when you call that number.
Anytime you see, Ralph was talking about, anytime you see a phone number on TV or in a movie, it always has 555 because those don't exist.
That area code doesn't exist in the United States. So
there's no tracking it down.
They don't worry that people are going to be hounded by douchebags calling them in the middle of the night because they're their phone number. So the guy calls the number, and on the other end, it's the Old Spice people, and they say, oh, congratulations, you just won free Super Bowl tickets.
What? Really?
Old Spice awarded the guy that called that number Super Bowl tickets.
That's amazing.
It wasn't a commercial online that they put out there. They didn't put any information out. They just wanted to, it was just an Easter egg. They said if somebody is curious enough, clever enough to check this out, they will win Super Bowl tickets.
Did he say, can I go next year when it's warmer?
Ah, no. Hmm. They gave him tickets for the Super Bowl. But I thought that was interesting. Apparently, 1,000 people called the number. Only 1,000 people. And they had a random number, I guess, they were going to get the tickets to. And that guy who called got the number, got the tickets.
It's got to be weird.
And so what's even weirder is the guy works for an internet news show. Like one of these quick little things you find on Yahoo or AOL or something like that. And he was thinking, this might be a good story if I could find out what's on the other end of this phone call.
No kidding.
If I find out what happens when you call this number, I could maybe get a good story for our little news piece that we do on the internet. And he actually ended up winning the Super Bowl ticket.
Wow.
He did get his story after all. Thought that was interesting. I want to give some mad props to Renee Crabtree real quickly.
Who's that?
They're in Ohio. Renee Crabtree, actually Sheila Renee Crabtree, hates her name so much, she's going in front of a judge this week to have her name officially changed.
To?
Sexy.
Really?
Sexy Crabtree.
I love that so much.
Really?
Yeah.
Sexy Crabtree?
That's absurd.
That's her name's going to be Sexy.
Hey,
Sexy. How you doing, Sexy?
Yeah.
She's just forcing people to call her Sexy all day long. That's why she's doing it.
Right. It's absurd.
It's ridiculous.
And then she's going to sue him for harassment.
The mother of two teens, who won't give her age to this reporter, says she chose Sexy in part because she wears Victoria's Secret clothes all the time.
Oh,
I guarantee you, Sexy is the one thing you would not call this girl. I haven't seen her. I don't know who she is. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, I think
that's the only reason that word would come out of your mouth while you're talking to her.
That's probably true.
I'm Sexy.
I saw her yesterday, Ralph, and you're 100% right.
Yeah. Sexy. Sexy Crabtree. And would you like to live the life of Justin Bieber?
Yeah, I'd do things differently, but sure.
For a small fee, Kevin, you can drive that same yellow Lamborghini that he got popped for his DUI in.
I'd take the weed and the Xanax, though.
Would you?
Yeah.
Lou LaVie is the name of the exotic car rental place in Miami Beach who rented Justin his yellow Lamborghini that he was drag racing when he got arrested. And they say that believers are blowing up the company's phone lines and website, willing to pony up big money for a day in Justin Bieber's car. If they could just drive that car that Justin drove, they'd be happy.
If they could just drive, they'd be happy.
Word is, people want to drive the vehicle to the scene of the arrest. So they could be there in that car just like him. They could just be like Justin for a moment.
Do they understand that that wouldn't be Justin, though? You're just in a car.
How much do you think it goes for per day to rent that car?
I don't know.
The old Lamborghini.
$250?
Yeah, close. $1,700.
Wow. Yeah. A day?
Yeah.
Wow.
Better have GPS in it. That's all I got to say. And a bag of Doritos. Today's celebrity birthdays. Marcus Mumford of Mumford & Sons is 27 years old today. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me.
Beautiful.
Justin Timberlake's 33. Bobby Moynihan's 37. Kerry Washington also 37. Portia de Rossi's 41. Minnie Driver's 44. Anthony LaPaglia is 55 years old. Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols turns 58. And Harry Wayne Casey. Casey of Casey and the Sunshine Band. He's 63. I promise you he's wearing a mesh tank top right now.
I went to see him in Vegas because I was drunk and it sounded funny.
Right.
And he was wearing that mesh t-shirt and he had a fat gut that was just sticking through all the holes.
Sure does.
It was so ugly.
Yeah. He's got a 1978 t-shirt and a 19...
That's crazy bad.
50 body.
Okay.
All right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Kevin, I will accept no less than sheer excitement over the Puppy Bowl on Sunday. The only thing more American than watching football is watching little puppies run around. Right?
Absolutely.
Kevin, are you there?
Even if the game's not going your way, switch to the Puppy Bowl.
That's,
switch
you'll
to the
Puppy Bowl.
Happy.
That's stupid.
You can't
that's
possibly
dumb,
not
and
be
that's
happy.
Absurd. Well, I know a man who's going to turn you around on this because Dan Schachter is one of the referees for Puppy Bowl 10, which airs on Animal Planet this Sunday. By the way, Dan, first of all, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you, sir?
Thanks for having me. I'm pumped.
Second of all, nobody is
pumped.
I'm pumped. Didn't the Puppy Bowl used to be a halftime spectacle, and now you start early? You start at 3 o'clock, right?
It used to be, yeah. We've now expanded. We're like a 12-hour event that occurs on Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah, and it's pretty cool.
And by event, you mean nothing happens.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or everything happens, depending on your point of view.
Sure.
We start at 3 o'clock, go 3 to 5. It's a two-hour event, and then we have repeat viewings. But every viewing will be different because our audience votes on the MVP. So the MVP will change on every viewing, we think.
Now, what does a dog have to do to be selected, do you think, as MVP by the viewers? Or is it just who that particular group of people watching think is the cutest?
Yeah, I'm sure cuteness is the main factor. I look at it differently. I look at athleticism, but, hopefully some people do, too. In the past, we looked at touchdowns. How many touchdowns they scored. That was the MVP. But this year, who knows? It could be a different criteria.
Right. I'm sorry. I have to bite. How did the puppies score a touchdown?
Oh, it's not that complicated. We're very open-minded at Puppy Bowl.
Yeah.
There are chew toys on the ground that all represent the footballs. Puppy just has to – there's no quarterbacks. Every puppy is a running back. And every puppy grabs the ball – drags it in. If they drag it into an end zone, doesn't matter which end zone,
right,
it counts as a touchdown.
Here's the question I have for you, and we're all dog owners, everyone on this show, we're all dog owners. I can't take my dog within 100 feet of another dog on a walk. How do you get 66 dogs to get along? How are there never any fights on the Puppy Bowl?
Oh, there are constant fights, and it's our job to break them up and call a foul as they happen. We allow puppies to be puppies, so we want them untrained. It's not all 66 at the same time. Let's be clear. We rotate
sure,
them.
Sure, you got
out.
Offense and defense.
Everyone's offense and everyone's defense.
Oh, okay.
It's every pup for himself here. But no, what we do is have 12 to 15 on the field at any given time. So it's not the 11-member football team, but it's 12 to 15.
And, oh, I see.
When they fight, do you blow a whistle that humans can't hear?
That would be great. We want the humans to hear it. We want to know when the fouls are being called. And, we want them untrained. So if they have to relieve themselves, we'll call that as a foul. If they have to take a nap on the sideline.
All right, hold on. Let's back up. You're going to call that as a foul. Is number one, is number two a worse penalty than number one?
Yes. Number two is, premature fertilization of the lawn. Number one is premature watering of the lawn.
Right.
But remember, we have to pick our battles. We can't be calling them all the time or the game would never resume. Sometimes you got to turn a blind eye.
I know you're an actor, and this is great exposure for you every year, but you have to be standing there going, what am I doing, right? How did my life come to this?
It's amazing. amazing. There are I've had so many different roles in my life. I'm a TV host. I've done bit parts on shows. This is the one that gets the most people excited when I, you know, tell the average American. I feel like this is going to be on my tombstone when I die.
Are you positive the average American doesn't think F you, guy, on the phone?
No, I haven't gotten it yet. Maybe they're just being nice to me. We had 12.4 million viewers last year. I don't see any F yous going on.
F you is coming for me right now.
Kevin, how dare you?
Right now.
I have a question. I have another question for you, Dan. With Puppy Bowl 10, it's the biggest Puppy Bowl ever, but I'm a little bit concerned that you're getting away from what made the Puppy Bowl magic. Am I wrong, or this year, are there cats involved? Are there penguins involved? I mean, aren't you really, like, junking it up a little bit now?
No. For our loyal viewers, they'll know that penguins are our cheerleaders, and we have cheerleaders every single year. It's not that they are new, but we have cheerleaders. We just rotate in different animals. So this year, the penguins are our cheerleaders. Last year, it was hedgehogs. Year before that, it was pigs, chickens. It goes all the way back. And kittens have been part of our halftime show for the past, I think, 8 years. And this year, we're excited. We have Keyboard Cat, the famous Keyboard Cat, performing as our musical guest.
What's
I don't know if we're chucking it up or just making it a bigger show because it's our 10th anniversary.
Kevin, you weren't going to be in, but now that Keyboard Cat is doing the halftime show at the Puppy Bowl, now you've got to be in.
Nope.
On a serious note, Dan, before we let you go, these puppies that are selected for the Puppy Bowl are all available for adoption, right? That's kind of the point of the thing, is to promote puppy adoption, right?
In all seriousness, we have a good time. You know, we're all having a good time here on the field. But every single one of these 66 comes from, they all need a loving home. They come from adoption centers. That's our number one criteria, that these pups and cats are available for adoption. We want people to remember that if you're looking for a pet for your home, don't necessarily go to your local pet store or a breeder. You know, you can get a beautiful, loving pet for your home for free, and that needs a home, you know.
Go to the Puppy Bowl and get one of those.
Yeah, you can go to animalplanet.com and check it out. We have all the puppy profiles on there.
This Sunday, starting at 3 o'clock at Animal Planet, it's the 10th annual Puppy Bowl. We've been talking to one of the refs, and I think the best ref, Dan Schachner. Thanks so much for joining us on the Kevin DeBee Show. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Finally happy now, B? Finally happy?
What do you mean?
Talked about the Puppy Bowl. Been since last, I don't know, February. The Puppy Bowl, Puppy Bowl. We got to talk about the Puppy Bowl. We should talk about the Puppy Bowl. We're like, August. We should talk about the Puppy Bowl.
Puppy Bowl's a big deal. People love the Puppy Bowl.
Everybody loves the Puppy Bowl.
People tuned in for the Puppy Bowl last year.
I love the Puppy Bowl.
Well, I love puppies. That's my point. I love puppies, and I love the idea that they promote puppy adoption.
And then we got in a fight because Bean thought that we were being too mean because he's talking about the Puppy Bowl all the time. And he got his feelings hurt because we were yelling at him. But how much can you hear about the Puppy Bowl?
But he is right. I mean, it's about adoption and all that stuff.
It's not, though.
And people do, and they have a big audience.
All right, let's move on.
Look, I could easily ignore it. But I work with a guy who's obsessed with it. And that makes so now it's in my face all the time. That's, I think, where the hate comes from, is that it's forced on me. And it's not forced on most people.
And by all the time, you mean in the days leading up to it.
So you got Bruno Mars and and the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That's
the actual halftime for Super Bowl. And then Bean wants you to tune over to, where is it, Animal Planet?
Animal Planet, right. Check it out.
And watch the Puppy Bowl. And we just talked to the referee, and he's very excited. But if you're my kind of people, maybe the Puppy Bowl's not for you. Maybe Bruno Mars isn't for you.
Then
Maybe you should go to pay-per-view. There's a pay-per-view halftime of the Puppy Hunger Games.
Oh, no.
No.
That's where I'm
going.
From the people who brought you the Puppy Bowl. Now present the most intense competition puppydom has ever known. 12 puppies will enter the ring. Each one fighting for itself and its entire litter.
No.
In this game, it's literally a dog-eat-dog world. It's the Puppy Hunger Games. Knick-knack paddywhack. Give this dog a bone. The bones of another puppy. Every dog has his day. But on this day, only one dog will have his day. Because the other dogs will all be dead.
No!
No!
Nothing's cuter than a puppy. Unless it's lying in a pile of other puppies. Welcome to the dog pound. As dogs pound the shit out of each other in the Puppy Hunger Games.
Come on.
It's puppy chow. But this time, the puppies chow down on each other.
No.
Seriously, this is some f***ed up s***. The Puppy Hunger Games.
Watch it during halftime, the Super Bowl. It's going to be fun.
No. It's going to be fun.
That's what you and Mike will be doing.
It's going to be fun.
No.
It's going to be fun. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7.
Hi.
Yeah, more each minute. Yes.
I thought so. A lot of people dress like bananas in the parking lot. Dada Life is going to be in here in studio with us tonight at 9 o'clock. Of course, they are sold out at the Avalon tonight, and I think what their plan is they're going to give – I think – don't hold me to this, but I think their plan is they're going to give some tickets away to some of the people that are that have come down to see them this morning, too. So pretty good
deal. That's why there was a banana sleeping right outside our gate at 5:25 this morning.
Yep, that's exactly. A dedicated banana.
Hey, that's a sentence that's never been said before, Lisa. Our Hour of Dogs continues here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We talked about the Puppy Bowl, then unfortunately we talked about the Puppy Hunger Games, and now dogs are in the news again because Eli Manning, who is not playing in the Super Bowl this weekend, started a new series of commercials this week where he is doing commercials for Nestle Purina. They're the ones who make dog food. They make the Alpo and the Beneful
right,
dog food.
Right.
Well, they have new nutritional supplements. They have energy bars for dogs now, and Eli Manning is their spokesperson. I can't imagine this is fun for Eli, but we wanted to find out what's going on with him, and we've got him back on the phone. Number 10 from the New York Giants, Eli Manning. Hi, Eli.
Hi.
How you doing, buddy?
Hi, I'm Bill Hoven.
Nope.
You're not.
That was a commercial that we accidentally hit.
Oh, I'm 10.
You are 10. Yeah.
You do wear the number 10 on the Giants. That's right, Eli.
I've played a Super Bowl.
Well, you have played in Super Bowls before, but not. You understand you are not playing this weekend, right?
Yes, I am.
You're not.
Manning is starting. That is at Giants Stadium. That's my hometown stadium.
It is at your stadium, yes. But your
Super Bowl!
But your brother is the one that's quarterbacking the Denver Broncos, and they play Seattle.
Cooper?
No, Peyton.
No.
Peyton Manning.
Yeah, Peyton.
No, he broke his neck.
He did,
right.
He don't play anymore.
No, he came. You must have seen this on the TV. He came back. He took a year off, then came back, and now he's taking the Denver Broncos to the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's why I thought Chad Pennington looked so familiar.
He's actually your brother.
That's Peyton Manning.
And by the way, Peyton Manning set records this year. He had an amazing year.
Well, I don't
one of
really
the best years ever.
Football.
You don't follow football. Okay.
Oh.
So it has to be, kind of bitter.
Hey, buy my protein bar.
All right, energy bars for dogs.
Energy
bar.
Now,
why do dogs need energy bars?
Wait, new I thought Sport Prime and Refuel energy bars.
I thought they were for dogs.
They are delicious and will give you, they will give you much high energy when you are in need of it.
Don't try to read,
it
Eli.
It is filled with protein and carbohydrates. Yay, proteins and carbohydrates.
Put the text down. Put the sheet of information down.
When you
and just
need
talk
a
to us.
Boost of energy, it okay. is the best you can get. So
but
buy Sport Prime and Refuel.
Okay.
They're delicious, too.
They're not
don't
for
eat
you.
Them.
They're not for you.
They're
Eli.
For dogs, Eli.
Oh, no, that'd be stupid.
No, they are. It's,
dogs don't need energy bars.
But that's what your product is.
Dogs have nothing but energy.
That's what true. I'm saying, but
my
you're the one who's...
My dog won't stop running around.
Right.
If I give him one of these, he's going to explode.
Well, that's what you're promoting.
No, these are energy bars for people. New food and fuels and... They are
Eli,
filled with
should,
good things for you when you need it most.
Right. You should stop eating that. Seriously, it is
active.
Not...
What when you are catching a frisbee or running after a ball or a squirrel, you too can be helped with the Sport Prime Refuel Energy Bars.
Hey Eli, do you think people chase squirrels?
Yeah, I do.
Oh. Because this is, it's all about dogs is what, all of those things are what dogs do. They chase squirrels and frisbees.
Right.
Wait, do these bars are for dogs?
Yes, that's what we've been trying to tell you for 5 minutes, Eli.
Oh.
Oh, is this news to you, I guess?
Come on. Come on. Really? Eli. Oh, no. left this behind last year.
Oh.
Mmm, I'm eating it up now.
Bean, because that's what dogs do.
I get it.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
We'd find her if they offer up the first name.
They should offer up the first name.
You know what I'm saying.
This was first name.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
Yeah, true.
That was weird. It was like I was recorded and skipped.
I don't welcome this to my at all in a creepy way, but I think Kevin may be rubbing off on Lisa, you guys. I think that may be
especially
what's happening here.
Lately.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good.
I like that, it. I like that I'm dragging you all down.
That pales in comparison to that SeaWorld one she did. Do we have that? Can you find that one? Beer mug, I hate to make
that
you leave your meal
best.
There in the middle of the show, but if you could edit that
was
one.
Was that?
Where she just started stringing together a random
was that Lisa's greatest
words.
Ever moment with?
I think
possibly,
so.
SeaWorld.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
Explore the amazing world of Ray in this immersion new mega attraction, Manta. Ride the Ray, feel the rush.
Well said.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
I forgot about that
None
one.
Of
That's
those
so
were connected.
Good.
None of those were connected.
Lisa, you had no idea
and
what
now,
you were saying.
A then. Moment with Lisa May.
Explore the amazing world of Ray in this immersion new mega attraction, Manta. Ride the Ray, feel the rush.
Well said.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
That is the funniest thing ever.
I have no clue what I was saying at all.
CBS 2's Serene Branson is live at the Staples Center.
Oh, I thought that was the clip of her doing the heavy rotation. Hold on.
No, defense.
That's not it either.
Well, a very, very heavy rotation tonight. We had a very Darrison. But let's go to Terry's and look for the bit. They had the pit.
There's Lisa May,
Are
ladies and gentlemen.
Are you referring me to that?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Yes,
I am.
And apparently there's two other people, too.
Comparing you two. Those were both stories about the thing. All right. We got to do showbiz real quick, and then we got to come back and talk to John Daly.
The wheels are coming off.
John Daly, comedian, actor, writer, producer. He's the one who came up with that incredible Abracadabra LaFornia that overtook the internet about 2 days ago that a lot of people, millions of people thought was a real Red Hot Chili Pepper song. It's very funny, and he's a very funny dude, so we'll talk to him coming up next. First, though, time for the showbiz beat here on a Friday.
We need to hear from Bill Hoban first, or can we just get
I think we're all right.
Okay. Sharknado 2, the second one.
Is that what they're calling
That's
it?
That's the subtitle
The
for
second
it.
One.
Sharknado 2, the second one. It's going to be on Sci-Fi. We're locked in. The good news is they have signed both Ian Ziering and Tara Reid to come back and star. So we've got the original cast back together again.
That's the most important. Oh, wait. No.
They didn't die in the first one?
I don't.
Wow.
No.
Ian Ziering.
Ian was the one with the chainsaw.
He chainsawed right the day,
through
right.
a shark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happened.
It's going to be set on the East Coast this time instead of L.A. It's going to be like the Die Hard series. What are the odds that this could happen again to the same person? Well, in New York City, apparently, this time around. The same freak weather system will set up and deliver yet another Sharknado, this time landing all over the iconic landmarks of New York City.
Wait, so they're not going to update the story at all? It's just the same thing happened in another city?
Yes.
Okay. Odd.
But the good news is they've gotten the same guy who wrote the original to do the screenplay for it.
Well, that is good news.
That is important.
Yeah, I think so.
You want to have that same...
Now,
quality.
They missed the opportunity to have you as the damn you Sharknado guy.
Yes.
Is there a chance maybe for the sequel they can put you in?
I don't know. My plate's pretty full. I'm really busy these days. Do you see the trailer for A Million Ways to Die in the West?
I did. You're in it with your mustache.
There's a still frame of me that's in there. Just that one.
I missed you. I did not see you.
Oh, well then. You haven't seen anything.
That's true. I saw the trailer. Where are you? How far into the trailer are you?
About midway.
Okay.
You got to look close.
You really have to slow it down and maybe go frame for frame by frame.
It's like a still picture of me that they flash on screen. It's like subliminal advertising, really. It's just buried in there.
You know why they had to put you in it? Because of your stash.
Yeah, right.
Strong.
You know, you don't want too much of that stash because it'll just overpower.
It's Bobby.
No, it's not Bobby at all. It's Dan.
Dan.
It's Dan in this film. Yeah. So I don't know if I can really squeeze that in because I'm sure my phone's going to be ringing off the hook.
Probably.
When that trailer gets around.
That trailer is so funny, Ralph, and
it
that
really
movie
is.
Looks so great.
You ain't seen nothing yet. I was watching the trailer. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, but yeah, then this happens after that part, so that's going to be really
Sweet.
Funny. So, yeah, you're going to love it. July is when Sharknado 2 will air, by the way, so we've got that coming for us. This is good news. Oscar winner Diane Wiest has just signed on to be guest starring in a couple episodes of The Blacklist.
All right.
Her arc will start on March the 3rd.
That show is so consistently good.
Boy, it's like a little movie every week. I just love that. Glad it's taking some time off for curling. I'm glad there'll be more curling and less Blacklist for the next month.
Yeah, they have to wait out the Olympics.
And I would think that Shia LaBeouf is unhirable.
Well, he certainly has had his issues.
Just an embarrassment the past couple months. Well, Variety says he just got cast in a new film. An ensemble cast of the film Rock the Casbah is pretty impressive. The premise is a burned-out music manager goes to Afghanistan with a USO tour with his last remaining client. Everyone else has left him. And he runs across a young girl with an extraordinary voice. And he takes her back with him to Kabul to compete on an American Idol-type show called The Afghan Star.
Okay.
Supposedly it's a very funny concept. Barry Levinson will be directing the film. And the same guy who wrote Scrooged, the Bill Murray movie,
right,
will be doing the script, and Bill Murray apparently will play the burned-out music manager in this film. Here's the rest of the cast, however. Bruce Willis, Kate Hudson, Danny McBride, Zoe Deschanel, and now Shia LaBeouf has just joined on. So
I'm in,
too. I'm just surprised that someone would bring in Shia LaBeouf. The horror stories, not only of him being drunken and getting in fights, and then the whole negative publicity thing with the plagiarism. But he's like taking acid on the set and destroying sets and stuff.
Yeah, even if you're a good actor, at some point there's too much baggage, I would think, too.
A lot of baggage. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Marcus Mumford of Mumford & Sons is 27 years old today. Justin Timberlake celebrates his 33rd birthday. Bobby Moynihan, very funny, very talented guy, 37 years old. Of course, you know from SNL and from... what's that movie he was just in with Vince Vaughn? Delivery Man.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I thought he was real good in that. Kerry Washington's 37 years old from Scandal. Paul Scheer is 38. Portia de Rossi, we fell in love with her in Arrested Development. Minnie Driver is 44 years old. She's got a new series coming on too, right? About a boy, isn't she in that?
Yep.
Kelly Lynch is 55 years old. Anthony LaPaglia celebrates his 55th birthday. Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols turns 58. And Harry Wayne Casey celebrates his 63rd birthday today. You may not know that name, but you know his work. He's KC of KC and the Sunshine Band. I wanna put on my boogie shoes. Yeah. I wanna put on my boogie shoes. Oh, come on.
I need boogie shoes.
Yeah.
I don't have any boogie shoes.
Yeah.
And for a guy whose motto is dance or die,
you need some boogie shoes.
You need boogie shoes.
Get to work.
You deserve them.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So 2 days ago, about this time on the Kevin DeBean Show, we were talking to Chad Smith, drummer for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, all about their upcoming halftime show performance at the Super Bowl this weekend in New Jersey.
Boy, and a lot of details came out, huh?
Like none? Like he couldn't tell us anything?
Spoiled the whole thing.
So a couple hours after we had Chad on, a mysterious new website appeared named RHCP2014.com. Very official looking. Red Hot Chili Peppers live at the Super Bowl 48 with Bruno Mars and all sorts of corporate logos. The Pepsi halftime show, the K-Rock logo was on there as well. And there's a new song from the Red Hot Chili Peppers that debuted that day. This is Wednesday now we're talking about. It's called Abracadabra LaFornia, which sounds exactly like what you would expect a Red Hot Chili Peppers title to be. And the song sounds exactly like a Red Hot Chili Peppers song. And of course, it's not really them. Millions were fooled by this, which is not a Red Hot Chili Peppers song, which sounds exactly like one.
Beverly Hills of Jason, it's the neighborhood where I raise my kids. Aeroplane to Elliot, then I met up with Lady Stan.
Now, is the thing, Kevin, that Red Hot Chili Pepper lyrics, even if you love the band, and many of our listeners do, is it that their lyrics are so dumb that you can pretty much just put any words in a song and people will think, oh, it must be real.
They got the sound right, and then the words can be nonsense. Let's be honest.
I'm a bit of a lover with your sexy ass grammar. The hook turned green when the rains get gamma. I'm in trouble with your grammar because I ain't a bother yammer. If you want to get fresher, you got to get grammar. Ding-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-a-bong-
I went, okay.
All right. Anthony's gone bye-bye. Well, it turns out it's not the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It is a very funny song by a very funny man who is on the phone with us right now, John Daly, who along with his partner in the band Hot Karate put that song up a couple of days ago and pranked the world. Hey, John, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
What's up, Kevin and Bean? How's it going?
Very good.
It's going great, and what a week for you. Awesome. What can you tell us about Abracadabra, California?
Well, first of all, I just want to give a shout-out to Chad, Flea, Keith, Josh, and John, all the Peppers. I didn't realize that you had Chad on earlier this week. That's really cool.
Yeah, a couple days ago, yeah.
The response to the song has been great. I've been a Pepper man for, since I was probably in seventh grade, since I was about 13 years old. So getting recognized by, you guys and the Peppers just giving me a shout-out, I think this is all leading to up to the fact, I hope, and it is my goal, that they play this song at the Super Bowl. And I don't know if the Peppers ever hang out at K-Rock. I don't know if they happen to be there right now or whatever.
No, they're in New Jersey. They're already in New Jersey. But it's interesting. You've been a Peppers fan a long time, and this is an idea that you hatched a long time ago. I mean, you were sitting on this song and waiting for the appropriate time to prank the world with it, right?
Yes. Me and Zach Galifianakis have been buddies for a little bit, and we started it at some terrible party where there were some just, really not that cool celebrities there or whatever, and so I came up to him, and I was just like, hey, man, I think Flea texted me, he's stuck in traffic, and Zach was like, oh, okay, Kiedis is parking, so he'll be in here soon. By the end of the night, we were just going bing a bong a bong a bong Burbank, just whatever. And then me and my friend Cyrus Garmani, who's in Hot Karate, we made the song. And then we were like, this song is actually we just thought that it was pretty good. We were like this kind of encapsulates the new Peppers. And the old Peppers, the kind of the old Peppers that we love and the new Peppers that we stopped kind of listening to maybe in 1996 or so. And,
right.
And we were like, man, this is really good. And then the Peppers did the Super Bowl. We sat on the song for about a year and just kind of put out other stuff. And then when the Peppers did the Super Bowl, we were like, gangbusters, let's go now.
Now's the time.
Here's my dream scenario if they don't play it at the Super Bowl.
Oh, no, I think that's a lock, first of all, but go ahead.
Thank you.
Sure.
But if they don't play it, then on the opening chords to Under the Bridge, when they play Under the Bridge at halftime, I want Kiedis to just go, bing a bong a bong a bong Burbank.
I like it. I like it.
Well, that would be nice. So when you put the website up, and you did it in an awesome way because it wasn't at all obvious that it was a joke. I mean, it really does look real. I mean, and obviously you're parodying all the sponsors of the Super Bowl too on the site. So many people were excited thinking it was a new Chili Pepper song. Did that surprise you how many people completely believed it, hook, line, and sinker?
Well, here's the thing. I think that, first of all, Cyrus created the website. We wanted to make a website that was very corporate. Because whenever there's a free download, people will just paste corporate logos all over it. So we figured with the name Abracadabra, California for a Pepper song, that's going to make people a little bit angry. And then they're going to see all those corporate logos and they're going to go, they're already going to be distracted by a couple things. And then when they play the song, they might be half in, half out. They might just think it's a Pepper song and not really, really listen to it. So I think that comes from a lot of people listening to about 30 seconds of it and going, oh, I can't believe they did this, and then tweeting it out. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I don't want to make fun of any news outlets right now. I love them all. But Yahoo News did buy it hook, line, and sinker.
Love it.
And put it out as if it was real, and that is a huge triumph in my life.
Love it so much.
Yes, you should be so proud of that when you saw Red Hot Chili Peppers drop surprise new single days ahead of the Super Bowl. You must have just been high-fiving with your friend there.
Oh, my God. And they go into these detailed critiques of it, what have they been doing? What have they been doing for the past 5 years? So funny.
And then speaking of Chad, as we were the drummer for the band, then he tweeted out and apparently just thought it was hilarious. And that must have also made you feel pretty warm and fuzzy.
Oh, man. And again, like, I'm a Peppers fan. And, back in the day, people would be like, hey, man, what are your favorite bands? And I'd say, you know, James, Chains, Chet. Sure. Nirvana, they're one of my favorite bands.
So to have them find your work funny must have been super satisfying.
Absolutely, and I take guitar lessons at Flea's Music School, the Silver Lake Conservatory, which is kind of a beautiful organization out here in Silver Lake in L.A., and I have no desire to offend those guys. I just think that song is hilarious.
well done. We do, too. The website is rhcp2014.com. Of course, you can find it everywhere, including on krock.com, and we've tweeted it out and Facebooked and the whole deal. It's hilarious. And, I mean, if you like the Chili Peppers, you definitely owe it to yourself to download and own this song, too, because it's great. John, I know you do a lot of other stuff, comedian, actor, writer, producer. You cracked us up, man. We appreciate the song. We appreciate you coming on the Kevin and Bean Show today. We enjoyed it.
Oh, thanks, Kevin. I mean, you guys are
the
best.
Thanks. Cousin Sal from the Jimmy Kimmel Show and Grantland.com joins us in about 15 minutes or so. He'll give his Super Bowl prediction. I'm already starting to get a little bit nervous, Kevin.
Because your Supersonics are in it?
Yes, the Supersonics are in the Super Bowl. That's absolutely correct, Kevin. Dear God. Yes, because the Seahawks are playing, and I'm going to be sad if they lose. That's why.
I know. Are you going to be – but seriously, are you going to mope like on Monday when you come in
yes.
mopey?
Oh. Yes. To get to the Super Bowl and lose, to be so close and lose,
happens to all of us, man.
That's right.
I know it does. I know it does. I know it's part of sports. I know. Look, I'm excited. That it's a thrill to get there, but to be so close and not win. I mean, the team has never won a Super Bowl, so I really, really, really want this for Seattle. But anyway, having said that, the game is on Fox this year, which means Joe Buck is going to be in the booth. Now, I was really surprised because, you know, there's so many angles to the Super Bowl when you get 2 weeks, 2 weeks before the game. One of the things that I've seen online is people bagging on Joe Buck. I didn't know. I knew that there was an anti-Bob Costas contingent out there. We come across that from time to time. I didn't realize there were so many people that get bugged by Joe Buck, Fox announcer. I love Joe Buck. I'm always excited when he's doing the game.
Yeah, I think he's good, too. And I don't know what bugs people about him. I know with Bob Costas it was you kind of feel like he's just smug and he's a little better than you.
Right.
And he's kind of slumming it. I mean, he's got that smarmy attitude for him, but for Bob Costas. But I don't see that with Joe Buck. I don't.
KMXGO said smug too. That was the first word that he said when I asked him about Joe Buck. And I just wonder where that comes from, because is it just that he's knowledgeable and articulate and knows what he's doing, and all of a sudden that makes people think he's smug because he's doing
so.
A good job?
I don't think so. I think smug is separate from knowledgeable. I think knowledgeable people can come across perfectly fine,
mm-hmm.
and they can also come across as smug, and that could be because they're smug.
Well, I don't know. I don't get Joe Buck being smug.
I don't either.
But a lot of people feel that way about him, and he actually did a very funny video that went up just yesterday afternoon, or maybe even last night, for Funny or Die, where he's shooting Super Bowl promos for Fox on the streets of New York. Now, apparently, New York has a problem with Joe Buck because they perceive a bias from him against the Giants and against the Jets. So
everywhere
he goes in New York City, he's trying to record these promos, and there are people on the street who are coming up and just yelling at him and honking at him and throwing things at him. And it's actually very funny. So maybe this will make the haters of Joe Buck like him a little bit more, because he's got a real good sense of humor with this.
New York City, home to Super Bowl 48. You know, some people think I have a bias against this city. Not true. I gotta say, I love it, and it loves me.
You, Joe Buck! You ain't the Yankees! You ain't the Giants! We hate you! Hey!
You guys want to take that again?
It's always a treat to be back here in New York City. Greatest city. Greatest.
I can't do this with the honking. What's great about New York is you can go just about anywhere and take in some culture.
Yeah, we have some great exhibits right now at the Met, like the American West in bronze. And fuck you for your bias against the Yankees.
You're looking forward to this year's Super Bowl? I'm really looking forward to the commentary.
All right.
Good. Well, my friend mutes your garbage voice and does it himself. It's way better.
I love that, by the way. I'm looking forward to the commentary. Joe thinks he's complimenting him. He's like, no, my friend. He does your voice. He does it way better than you do.
One of the fun things about New York City is there's so many people from so many different cultures. People who might not even know about me or that the big game's coming here. Sir, did you even know that Super Bowl 48 was here this week?
Oh, sorry. I don't say English.
I know only you, Joel Buck. New York is a great city. And what's a great city without great people? And I got to tell you, the people of New York love me.
That's a crowd behind him.
Some people can get a little drunk around here. It's a big city.
Drunk. I'm just trying to ruin your shoot with my...
Yeah, I had to beat that one myself, by the way. I've tried to ruin my your shoot with my... And he's peeing on a wall behind Joe Buck while he's trying to record his promo.
New York hates you, Joe Buck.
We hate you, Joe Buck!
It's always a treat to be... Put a lot of work into hating you. New York City. The food. The sight.
Somebody comes up and throws an entire pizza at Joe Buck. Hits him right in the chest.
Oh, my
God. Are you f***ing kidding me? A whole pizza! One of the great things about this city is you're never too far away from Central Park, where you can just go and gather
yourself.
Right.
You're usually in a famous St. Louis landmark like Forest Park or Compton Hill Reservoir Park or the Tower Grove House built in 1849 for Henry Shaw.
God, you know a lot about St. Louis.
Oh, no, I'm from there, man. Yeah. Oh, I'm a big fan. Yeah. I'm a big fan of your dad's, too. He was great. Oh. He was great.
Thanks. That's nice. Bro. Appreciate it.
Yeah. No, your dad, you're a piece of shit, bro. You got pizza all over you, Jack. What are we going to do?
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Buck, a little bit of a sense of humor, call of the game this Sunday on Fox. Citizens of Dada Land, your leaders will be here in about 25 minutes or so. Looking forward to having those guys in the studio with us. You should drop the E now, Kevin, so that it kicks in by the time the guys get here, don't you think?
I'm going tonight. I'll wait for that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I had a talk to Cousin Sal here on the phone. I don't know why we're bothering to have Sal on because, as we discussed earlier, Eli, the prognosticating ape in Utah, has already picked the Super Bowl winner. So I don't know what the hell we need Cousin Sal for.
How many different animals have picked the Super Bowl? I mean,
I don't know.
Do they have every animal represented?
It does seem like that's a trend. It seems like more and more every year there's some of them. But Cousin Sal, of course, is the writer for the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show. You can also read his stuff on the NFL on Grantland.com. He does great work on the podcast with Bill Simmons, and he's one of our favorite people. He joins us throughout the football season every week before the big games, and this is the biggest of them all. Hey, Sal, how are you, man?
Thanks. You know, guys, I appreciate you offering equal time to other apes like myself.
Right. Now, Sal, I'm hearing a lot of talk about, you know, number one offense versus number one defense. Could this be the best Super Bowl of all time? Well, I guess they all could be the best Super Bowl of all time. We don't know until they play the game, but it is unlikely it's going to be a blowout. I mean, there's no one who doesn't expect this to be at least a close game on Sunday, right?
It really stacks up as a close game on paper, but, you know, I don't, before we get to the game, I want to, you know, it's a very sad and exciting moment for me, the last game, but when you realize the amount of gambling that could be done on this event, not just with the game itself, the winner, picking a winner, you know, you could, I printed out the PDF of what's called the propositions, and it reads like the menu at Jerry's Deli. It really is. It's fantastic. It makes for dozens of hours of reading material on the toilet. It's really good. And you guys know you could bet the coin toss.
Sure, sure.
Heads has hit 5 years in a row. I really, really strongly feel heads has its number. You know, tails is good against other sides of the coin, but when stacked up against heads, it's just not going to win.
Okay.
You could bet how long the national anthem will be. There's an opera sing this year. It's over-under is 2 minutes and 25 seconds. What would you guys say?
I think if it's an opera singer, I think she's going to really, you know, let it go. So I think it'll go longer. I would go over.
See, I thought the same thing. And then I thought, these are sub-zero temperature.
Oh, right.
And, you know, normally you get this fat opera singer, about 85% body fat, and maybe she could take it. She wants to show off with the long notes. But I spent more than too much time on Google Images looking at this woman that's going to be singing, and she looks like Celine Dion. She's very thin. She's going to want to get a paycheck and get the hell out of there.
Really? So you're going under.
She's going to get a punk rock version, like a 40-second version of the anthem.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. She'll skip every third word. And you can bet on how many times Peyton Manning will audibly utter the word Omaha.
I love that bet.
That's at 28.5. I think he should get them all over with at once, just on the first play, and just take the delay a game. But then some of the props get the individual feats get weird. There's a prop over under 79,509 times Pete Carroll chews the same piece of gum before biting his own tongue off.
Oh, wow. Boy, does that guy like to chew gum.
he chews gum a lot.
he sure's a chewer.
Every week it's like a four-hour audition for a Bubblicious endorsement.
Right.
Here's something interesting. 8-1 odds, Seahawks wide receiver Percy Harvin
suffers another season-ending injury when the coin bounces off the turf and lodges in his spine.
See, that's funny because he's played in two games this year and been hurt in both of them. So it's the guy cannot finish a game.
$64 million. He's very brittle. Vegas has to lay odds on that.
Wow.
But, there's other – oh, here's something. This is a nice one. They're not all mean. 35-1 odds. In an effort to clean up his thuggish image, controversial defensive back Richard Sherman returns an intercepted ball to Peyton Manning. He just hands him the ball.
He just gives it back to him?
Yeah. Try again. I think that'd be a really tweet test.
Sure.
Go a long way. Oh, here's one. 3-1 odds that Broncos wide receiver Wes Welker with his huge helmet will be mistaken for a Daft Punk member and awarded a Grammy after this.
Now, that's got to be long odds on that one, Sal.
No, only 3-1.
They're wow, expecting. I'm surprised by that.
Yeah, maybe that's a stay away. Maybe it's a stay away. You don't want this to happen, but 9-1 odds that the pregame fighter jet flyover gives Broncos coach John Fox another heart attack.
Oh, yeah. Nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, no. You should maybe hide in the locker room until the aerial show is over.
I like it. Yeah. Speaking of bets, Sal. I know you're plugged in with all of your sports friends in high positions. Is there any truth to Floyd Mayweather putting down $10 million on the Broncos to win? Is that confirmed? Have you heard anything about that?
I actually hadn't heard that. He doesn't have that kind of money. What is he, crazy?
The guy bets. I mean, he has bet millions of dollars before. We've seen lots of stories of him betting on NBA games and college games and stuff. But there was a photo yesterday of him with a huge stack of cash, and the report was that he put $10.4 million on the Broncos to win the Super Bowl.
Did the story go on? Did he put anything on Wes Welker getting a Grammy?
It doesn't say if he took that prop bet or not. But
all right.
Research that for us, Sal, because that's just crazy.
It seems like there's money better spent. Like, you could get 45-1 odds that when the field conditions become unplayable, the second half of the game is moved to Peyton Manning's forehead.
That's where the real money is.
Yeah, so I can make that joke. 18-1 odds that Seahawks officials admit the 12th man had a sex change in 2008 and wants to be known as a 12th person.
Wow. I hadn't heard that rumor. That's
how about that?
Yeah. 45-1 odds that the Kiss Cam catches New Jersey Governor Chris Christie dry humping a chicken parm sandwich.
I think that sounds like 50-50 odds to me.
Yeah, he's a fat guy. That might be worth putting a couple bucks down. The Red Hot Chili Peppers are playing at halftime.
Yes.
7-1 odds. A shirtless flea has to be de-iced when he gets stuck to his base. Probably not even in the top 100 weirdest things that ever happened to that guy.
That's probably true, yeah. Yeah.
And, this is a comparison prop. Bruno Mars is performing. Which will have more snow, the MetLife Stadium turf or Bruno Mars' left nostril?
Wow. Come on. Why are you coming at Bruno Mars like that?
I'm just reading it off the sheet. I told you.
He's not making this up, Bean. What's wrong with you?
All right. I didn't realize it was science.
Sal's a reporter.
That's right.
All right. I have more, but they're not suitable for the radio. But as for the game, like you said, on paper, it's a great one. The Broncos are favored by 2.5. Seattle opened at -1 or even. Everyone loves the Broncos. I think because you don't want to wake up Monday and say, oh, I had a chance to get Denver and Peyton Manning by less than a field goal, and I blew it. And they get a little break with the weather, but I'm still taking Seattle. I think they're as solid a defensive group as I've ever seen. Their cornerbacks and safeties are as big or bigger than these Broncos or any receivers. It gives them a huge advantage. They'll brutalize Denver receivers on the underneath routes. You're going to see the happy feet version of Peyton Manning. He'll struggle to move the ball. On offense, I was very impressed by Russell Wilson a couple of weeks. He's down 10 to the 49ers. He brought this team back. I actually thought the 49ers were the best team in the league, and Seattle took care of them. On Sunday, it'll be Marshawn Lynch, 2 touchdowns, over 125 yards. He'll take home the MVP award. Pete Carroll and Dean Seahawks hoist the Lombardi Trophy after the game. They win Super Bowl 48, 26-21. Take the 2.5 points.
All right, Bean, how does that make you feel?
Boy, I don't know.
Are you happy or are you sad?
I got mixed emotions here because obviously I want Sal's predictions to come through, but then he's also Sal, and I've heard him on the Kevin DeBee Show on a lot of Fridays. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But fingers crossed, your lips to God's ears, Sal. I hope that comes true.
All
cousin
right.
Sal on his cousin Jimmy Kimmel show late nights on ABC. By the way, congratulations. You guys are going to Austin, Texas in a couple of weeks here. That's going to be super fun for you to take the TV show there, right?
Yeah, that's going to be a ridiculous time. You guys should come with us for that.
All right. I would love to. That sounds like so much fun. You can read Sal. He's got much more at Grantland.com. Follow him on Twitter at TheCousinSal. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Thanks for coming on, man.
You too, fellas. Thanks. Thank
you. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Bring a bong, Burbank. Glendale.
Right.
Bring a bong, Burbank. Abracadabra, California. Cation is the best.
Chili peppers sound good. I like them. Hey, Dada Live joins us in studio after the top of the hour. So, Kevin, while Ralph's doing the showbiz beat here, go ahead in the other room, put on your banana suit, and come on back. Get ready to party.
Already on.
you like to dance or die. I know you, man.
Dance or die.
The banana goes over the whole body, Kevin, not just that one part of your body.
Oh. Yeah.
You're supposed to get a whole body suit, a banana body suit, not just dress part of your body like a banana.
I got to go change then.
Yeah. You want a banana, you little monkey bitch?
8:54, time for the showbiz beat.
Did you hear Sal, cousin Sal, Jimmy's cousin, talk about doing the show in Austin, Texas?
Yeah.
And he said, you guys should come. And being like, I'd love to do that.
I love Austin. Austin's one of my favorite places in the world.
Who's going there to hang out at the Jimmy Kimmel Show and party with Jimmy and Sal less than Bean?
Well,
yeah, he's not going.
He always
may love it.
When he says Austin. He loves the idea of it, not actually doing
it. All right, just want to make sure it's clear. In case anyone might have been
fooled. I'd go.
He was actually, exactly. Hey, Kevin will show up. That's the danger of inviting Kevin someplace. He will actually show up. But there's no danger of that with Bean.
I went to Austin just last year, by the way, for a long weekend.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I did. I went to a place that I've talked about, and it had a great time. So you don't know, man. I might go back.
You're like a full-time traveler now.
Wow. You're like Huell Hauser. Traveling everywhere and just talking to everyone.
See?
Oh, wait a minute. You went one place once.
I did go one place once. That's true.
That's amazing. All right. Lawrence, Jennifer Lawrence is better than us. We get it. Enough.
I love her, man.
She's the best. National Enquirer has a story where she was heading out to lunch recently and spotted an older homeless woman and then invited her to come along to lunch with her. She was going to take her to a restaurant and buy her lunch. Unfortunately, the mystery woman wouldn't leave her trusty grocery cart behind. So,
because you don't want people stealing that.
That's right. You got cans in there. You've got that three-legged bar stool. You got to hold on to that. Jennifer gave her $20 and said sorry she couldn't come with her, but see her next time. Gave her a little 20 spot and went on her way.
The other people with Jennifer Lawrence are like, what are you doing? Stop it.
Thank God. Thank God the cart came in and saved us.
What if she came and ate?
I don't know if you guys watch on TLC the Sister Wives program. This is the Mormons.
Nope.
Who have a polygamous relationship. It's a dude and his four wives and his 17 kids.
Yeah, I watched the first season of that, I think.
My wife's addicted to Sister Wives. Just can't get enough of it. Well, it's doing so well for TLC. They're bringing a second polygamy show into their lineup.
All right.
Deadline reports will be doing another show called My Five Wives. Boom!
He wins.
I'll see your four wives and raise you a wife.
Did he up the kids, too, or is it just the wives?
He did. This guy's Brady Williams. He's got five wives. Pauly, Robin, Rosemary, Nani, and Rhonda. They have 24 children.
Yeah.
Them.
Wow.
Good Lord.
They win.
And he also wins because Robin and Rhonda are cousins. So he's married to cousins as well.
Hmm.
Now, if they're sister wives, isn't that sort of incestuous? Because they're cousins, but they're also wives and they're sisters. What the hell's going on?
Yeah. Boy, I don't know. I'd need a diagram of that. Ralph, you don't think your wife's obsession with this TV show is her subtle way of trying to bring another woman into your home, do you?
No, we've had that conversation. I've tried to use that as an entree, as an opening gambit myself. Well, it'd be so fascinating. Maybe this is a lifestyle we should... No! I don't think...
Well,
My wife...
I'd like to hear about your mom.
My mom is dead. Oh. My wife would have a problem... We bring another woman into the house. It would be another woman living in the house, I think, was where the cat fighting would start.
That could be an issue.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's no way that my wife, the reason I said mom, is would let anyone else mother our child.
Sure.
And these women all sort of co-parent their kids, you know?
Which makes for
madness, because they all have different opinions about how kids are supposed to be raised and what we should do here and where they should go to school and stuff. Imagine getting two parents to settle on an issue.
Yeah.
Imagine you can do it four, five, six parents trying to agree on something.
That dude is crazy.
It's madness. And I saw the episode, like I mentioned, my wife watches it all the time. He had to buy a new house. Zzz.
New houses?
Yeah. You can't just move when you have four wives. You have to buy the new house, and then he had to buy the property adjacent so he could build additional properties for them to live with their families and wives. And he just sort of, he has a monorail or something, and he just travels on a people mover back and forth between the houses. But everything is just complicated by a hundredfold.
That's so weird. That's a terrible idea.
A lot of birthdays and anniversaries to remember, I'll tell you that.
Valentine's Day, man.
You just love women. You want to have a bunch of kids? Just be like an NBA player. Go out there and just sow your seed and move on. You don't have to marry
different
them
cities.
All. Live in a, fill a cul-de-sac full of homes for them. Craziness.
Yeah, that's too complicated. No one needs that.
Anyway, you get more of it on TLC, which, as we always say, is the
Freak Show Network.
Freak Show Network, yeah. Speaking of freaks, Shia LaBeouf working again. I'm shocked. I thought that people would lay off him for a while because of all the baggage that he seems to be carrying around.
Catch people up on the baggage quickly.
Well, he's got three or four now drunken bar fights. Apparently he has a real drinking issue that he's fighting through. He was just lambasted recently on the internet and in the press for this whole plagiarism thing where he stole some guy's original comic book and made a short film out of it without giving him any credit or cash or acknowledgement, and then had to go back and apologize, and then stole the apologies he was using to apologize to this guy. It's just a nightmare. Then he famously said, I'm not famous anymore, and he went on Twitter and resigned from public life. And even on the set, Rupert Grint, who worked with him on a film, said his character was supposed to drop acid. So he actually dropped acid on the set and proceeded to get naked, destroy the set, and chase an invisible owl. So all those things combined might make a filmmaker say, you know what? There are other actors out there.
A little risky.
I'm going to avoid the drama.
But be careful, Ralph, or he's going to skywrite about you.
Yes, he will. He will be joining the cast of a film called Rock the Casbah, which I think sounds very entertaining. Bill Murray will play a down-on-his-luck music manager who goes to Afghanistan on a USO tour with his last remaining client. And while there, he discovers a young girl with an incredible voice, and he latches onto her and takes her to compete in an American Idol-type show in Kabul called The Afghan Star. Barry Levinson will be directing. Bill Murray will star. The rest of the cast, Bruce Willis, Kate Hudson, Danny McBride, and Zooey Deschanel will all star.
Wow.
So, looks like an interesting show with a good cast. Stay a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Marcus Mumford of Mumford and Sons is 27 years old today.
Isn't it crazy that he's only 27 making old man music?
It's not old man music.
It kind of is old man music.
It sounds
like it's Ralph Stanley sitting on the porch.
It's great. And
look,
those guys
like
are amazingly talented.
I agree they are, but it's an unusual... You don't meet a lot of 27-year-olds who are playing the banjo. That's all I'm saying.
And they're very cool. You weren't with us, Bean, when Kevin and I did the breakfast with Mumford and Sons.
No, I think I was on vacation.
The Cat and the Fiddle on
They're
the
all
sunset.
Funny and...
Funny, yep. Hip, great guys, super talented.
Nothing against them. I'm just saying it's a surprise
not
to hear their records and then see how young they are. That's all I'm saying.
Justin Timberlake's 33 years old today.
I'm with the creep.
Bobby Moynihan is 37. Kerry Washington, also 37. Paul Scheer turns 38. Portia de Rossi's 41. Minnie Driver is 44 years old. Kelly Lynch is 55. Anthony LaPaglia, also 55 today. Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols is 58. And Harry Wayne Casey, better known as KC of Casey and the Sunshine Band. Shake, shake, shake. Maybe disco wasn't so bad. Maybe we were all wrong about it all that time.
It's funny. We did have to turn on it for a long time, though.
Many of us hated it for a long time
right.
and screamed how it was the dire end of music as we knew it. It's kind of catchy, isn't it?
Now the Capital Cities is doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Daft Punk.
Casey of the Sunshine Band is 63 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.
I didn't grab that mic.
Hang on.
What happened?
My mic just fell apart. Sorry.
K-Rock has fallen apart.
Why can't we have nice stuff?
This
is not impressing our guests.
This is very embarrassing. Ladies and gentlemen, Ula and Stefan Dada Life have joined us in studio here at the Kevin and Bean Show. They are among the biggest DJs in the world, and they are seeking refuge
refuge from a Swedish winter by spending as much time as possible in places like California and Hawaii this time of year. Welcome, gentlemen. How are you?
Thanks.
Thank you.
Kevin, you got to show the guys your Dance or Die tattoo on your chest. You got to lift your shirt for it, right?
I want to see it.
It's on my ass, by the way. So I'll show
I didn't realize. I wasn't sure where it was.
Yeah.
So guys, tell me about outside. Tell me what's going on out in the parking lot. We have not peeked our heads out in the last couple of hours. Are the citizens of Dada Land, are they showing up?
Yeah, there's a bunch of bananas out there in line just outside the parking lot. So.
If you don't mind going back.
No, why? Because that's a confusing sentence to a lot of people.
Yeah. If you don't mind going back and kind of catching everybody up on how you two became obsessed with bananas. It's sort of weird.
The obsession with bananas.
Yes.
It's actually the bananas combination with champagne.
With champagne, right. Yeah.
And the banana thing is actually the perfect club food because, you know, when we play, it starts dripping sweat from the ceiling.
Right.
Everything is just greasy. But then the banana has a perfect shell. You open it and it's so fresh inside.
That was not the answer I was expecting.
Now, what are people supposed to do with the banana skin once they have the refreshing banana while out on the dance?
Just toss it on the floor.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, it can be pretty messy afterwards.
So is there a company that makes full-size human being banana suits that just sends you a huge check every year because you keep them in business? Because so many of your fans dress up.
I mean, people started wearing the banana costumes. Also, I think it's smart because on a Dada Life show, it's really like you get sprayed by champagne, you get water, it's dirty, it's messy, basically.
Right.
And afterwards, yes. You just take off your banana suit,
and you're fine. Yeah. And you're fine. Now, Kevin, I know you're a huge Dada fan. I know. How many times have you seen these guys?
Three, I think.
And what's it been like for you being in that crush while these guys are playing?
I haven't seen them in a small place. I saw you at EDC.
Yep.
Dave the King of Mexico, who's in the other room, he gave me your CD a couple of years ago when it first came out. And he's like, I think you'll like this. And so we went, and I asked him afterwards. I lost him in the crowd at EDC. And I saw him afterwards, like, how was Dada? And he was like, I don't know, man. I'm tripping balls. I said, okay, good. But it's just, it's an awesome experience. But when you're in a crowd that big, it's sort of hard to, you know, get soaked in champagne and whatnot.
Yeah, it's like the whole crowd when it's so big, it's just like a big organism. You control them with your bass.
Pretty much. That's right. That must be weird. A weird feeling to control everybody kind of as one.
So nice. So nice.
I mean, the push of a finger completely changes the atmosphere and the mood in the room. And that's why people, you know, that's why people put their night in your hands, because you guys know how to make it fun. And that's the thing about Dada Life. I mean, everybody says it's so much more than just listening to music. I mean, you have figured out a way to turn it into a community, and you figured out a way to, I mean, you guys enjoy it so much, and I think that comes across.
I mean, we just want a place for our fans to be free.
Yep.
That's Dada Land. And then, you know, when we started our own nation, Dada Land, you know, with that came rules and regulations.
Sure.
And, you know, it just rolled on from there, basically.
But not the rules that most people are used to.
No. I mean,
Dada Land does not run
as few rules as possible is the way. Yeah. But we still need some practical rules.
Do you have to run for re-election, or are you automatically, like, for life, are you the leaders?
It's sort of like a nice dictatorship, I'd say.
Nice. Okay, good. I was afraid that some, you know, young upstart black guy from Illinois can come along and just upset the whole system, you know?
He'd be
outvoted or something.
Just run against you guys and win. That would suck.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Dada Life is here at the Kevin Beach at K-Rock. They are in town, A, escaping the winter weather in Sweden, but B, because they are playing again tonight at Avalon. Now, you guys have a curious history with Avalon. Last time you played, not so much fun outside for some people, right?
It became like a sort of riot outside, and then the police showed up in riot gear.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'd like to just remove the word sort of. Just say riot.
Yeah.
What went wrong? Just too many fans showing up and not enough tickets? Not enough people
could
get in?
Yeah, I think it was just too many fans showing up, and then, they couldn't get in, and they, you know, did
their
own thing.
Why won't that happen tonight?
I can't really. I don't know if it's going to happen tonight. I just hope it's not going to happen tonight.
I'm going over at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
That's all I have. I'm just going to sit there and wait.
Yeah. Now, you're obviously super, super, super sold out, but you tweeted for fans to show up today. Why? Are you letting some more people in from the crowd that's outside, or what?
Yeah, I think we're doing that. And we're also having a little scavenger hunt all over Los Angeles today. We're going to hide flags, like 10 or 15 flags all over the city.
Oh, nice.
And Instagram them, and people can get them.
This is what I like about you guys. Is yeah. you make up a whole world of nonsense.
Yeah.
But it's a serious, like...
What are you calling nonsense?
This is not a land we're talking about.
Nonsense. Yeah, what are you calling nonsense?
In my world, nonsense is the best.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That was meant as a compliment.
Yeah, okay, I get it. And then and the people with the flags get a meet and greet barbecue before the show tonight, and the people that get most of the flags getting a special prize.
Now, I'm super sorry for special. Not knowing, but are you guys known for barbecuing in some way, or is that just...
we love barbecue.
Okay, yep. All right.
Look, Kevin, don't embarrass me. Everyone knows the best barbecue in the world comes from Sweden.
That's
come
true.
On.
All right,
think about
Dada
that. Life is here. We have to take a break. We have much more ground to cover with our guests. They also have a new song out that is awesome and a video that you talk about tripping balls. This video will blow your mind. We'll discuss all of that when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Ola and Stefan, Dada Life here on the Kevin and Bean Show. They are in town for a show at Avalon tonight that is sold out. Then tomorrow they get on a plane and go to Hawaii where they spend about 4 hours and turn around and come back. Which
guys.
Is ridiculous scheduling. You're in Hawaii, guys. Enjoy it.
Nope.
No.
Right back on the plane.
Yeah, we have a studio that's waiting for us, finishing some new songs.
Oh, tell us about that. And then just briefly to finish up, and then Las Vegas, you're playing at Hakkasan. Is that right? Hakkasan, is it called?
Yep. Yeah, that's Hakkasan.
Yep. Hakkasan, right. And there are some tickets still available for that if you want to see Dada Life in Las Vegas at HakkasanLV.com. What are you working on? Tell us about that.
It's a great show, by the way. I've seen you many times.
Thanks.
Great show.
Thanks.
What are you working on?
We're just working on new singles, new stuff. We're going to release a lot of music this year. So.
Are you going to release, finally, the holla back part of your mixes at some point? Not really?
You need to come to our shows.
I have.
Yeah. Keep on coming to listen to them.
That's the whole point.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Born to Rage, which is the new single that just came out. We got a clip we're going to play here in a second. But, I mean, it's a banger. It is just great. What are you trying to get across with here? Is just you want people to be angry or happy or what?
I think the best feeling if you're angry and happy at the same time. We always say that we want a feeling of the music for, you know, when a person is running into a wall, crashing down to the floor and goes up with a smile.
Okay.
That's the feeling. Crashing into a wall with a smile.
Okay.
And it's not conflicting at all.
I don't know how to respond to that.
No. Come on, Kevin. It's not conflicting at all.
I have no further questions.
This video, it looks like it was taken all from VHS tapes from the 80s. And it's dancing and it's wrestling and it's cheerleading and it's, I don't know, it's the crazy. I mean, how many clips are in this video, if you even know?
I have no idea. Thousands.
It is awesome, and a lot of the people in it are awesome. This is Born to Rage.
USA, you were born to rage, so come on!
That's just typical of Dada Life. We were talking during the song how you guys have been traveling the world,
And
you've been everywhere. I saw you at Lollapalooza. I saw you at a couple of different places. Do you like playing those festivals where other bands are?
Yeah.
Or would you rather have your crowd there?
It is our crowd.
It is. I mean, all the people that were there were your crowd, but...
Yeah. I mean, it's different from playing a club from a festival, of course, because it's smaller, but it's both are nice in a different way. It's like big festival is like just a big organism moving.
Right.
Where in the club you can see people and see their reaction and, you know, interact more. So it's just two different experiences.
So you can't see very far at a big festival.
I don't see anything.
You don't see anything. So you're blind.
Are you surprised at how popular you are?
I would say we're happy that people like our music. We just make music that we love. And
if someone else likes it too, it's fine.
Well, that's
a bonus.
That's the thing with me, is I told you Dave the King of Mexico gave me your CD, and I listened to the CD before I had seen you, or seen your fans, or seen any of the nonsense, fun. The excitement that goes on there. And the album itself, the music is good.
Well, thanks.
It does
Thank
start
you.
From that. I liked the music before I ever saw your show live, and you make it so much better live.
Thank you.
I guess the reason I ask that question is a lot of people, they get into music because they love it. It sounds like that's certainly where you're coming from. And their hope is, wow, if I could just not have to have a day job, I would consider this a success. And anything beyond that is gravy. Well, there's no way that you guys could have ever predicted that you would be Dada Life. I mean, that you would be playing in all these countries around the world for such enormous audiences. I mean, it must just be you got to wake up and pinch yourself every day.
Yeah, pretty much. No, for sure. It's like every time we go on stage, we just have a super big smile on our face and just have fun.
That's and actually true. You get surprised almost every time, even though you know. It's a, even though you know it's a good. I mean, a big crowd. Every time you move on stage, you're like, "Whoa!"
The response is just overwhelming,
hello,
right? And where you played all over the world? You were talking about South Korea off the air.
Yeah.
Why is that such a great place? What makes it different?
Just an amazing crowd, and it's always great to come to a place where you don't expect anything or know anything about the crowd or the vibe or the parties or anything, and you go out and it's like, boom, and that's what happens.
And
South
they just
Korea.
Respond like crazy.
Yeah.
Do you consider other DJs to be colleagues and you're all in the same boat, or are they competition and you're always keeping an eye on what they're doing and trying to be better?
I mean, everybody in EDM are so nice to each other, a little bit too nice maybe.
Too nice?
Yeah. So I'd say colleagues.
You're a little upset by that, though.
I don't want to start anything on radio.
Who would you guys say you're the biggest fan?
Who's the worst?
Well, who would you say you're the biggest fan of? Like, who are Dada Life? Like, who blows you away?
Musically?
Yeah, who you look up to?
Little Richard?
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking in the EDM world. I'm talking about of DJs, I mean.
None.
Now, the thing is with that. The thing is, it's moving so fast. So one week it could be one, and then the next week it's another one. And it's just new stuff all the time. And that's the whole point. It's so exciting.
I think I saw in your Facebook chat the other day, it's funny you bring up Little Richard. Somebody asked you about collaborations, and you said Little Richard.
Yeah, that was me.
I don't know if you were joking or not. But
no, I'm not.
Have you ever reached out to him? Because he is still alive.
Yeah, we're trying.
You're trying?
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
That would be a strange, weird, funny, great thing.
Yeah,
perfect,
it would be amazing.
Yeah.
It would be boom!
You really like it. Boom! You're a big fan of running into walls, aren't you?
Yes.
Guys, our security guard here at K-Rock is Little Richard's former drummer from his records from the late 50s and early 60s, for reals. So we got an in for you. He's got his number. If we can help you hook you up, we will try to make that happen before
let's
you leave today.
Let's make it happen.
All right, so you're working on new music. You say you're going to be releasing a lot in 2014. This is going to be the you're going to stop being so stingy with your music and get a lot more out there. You're going to stay on the road and just do what you do this year.
Yeah.
Is there a date? Do you guys have a date in mind as far as releasing new music?
Next up is the vocal version of Born to Rage. We're just recording it right now, actually. That's why we're in the studio.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
So that's going to come up in the spring. Not an exact date, but pretty soon, actually.
Okay. And a new album?
New album it might be coming, but first we want to release a few singles. So.
Okay.
But we're working with nice
vocalist. Avalon tonight, and then Hawaii, then Las Vegas. Again, tickets at HakkasanLV.com for that show on February 9th. And you're going to be out of our country for a while. When you come back next time, I don't know, play a bigger venue.
Yeah. Might be a good plan.
Might be
a good
plan. Right?
It sold out pretty quickly.
All right. The album is The Rules of Dada.
Yep.
Get that now. It's a great album. And you can follow him at Dada Life on Twitter. Guys, thanks for coming in. We totally appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
It's great to have you. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
That's the Ralph Garman tapping his pen on the counter mix of the Black Keys there on K-Rock. Time for our final showbiz beat of the week. What's going on?
I want to give congratulations where it's due. Big, big event yesterday. The Wing Bowl. The Wing Bowl's over.
What's the Wing Bowl?
Congratulations. Congratulations to the big winner of the Wing Bowl. The Wing Bowl, Kevin. Ever heard of the Wing Bowl?
No, the Wing Bowl I've not heard of.
Legendary sporting event, the Wing Bowl.
Nope.
We have this conversation every year, Kevin.
Yeah, that doesn't mean I remember it.
For the past 22 years in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, they've been holding the Wing Bowl.
That's why you always lose me at Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
They get everybody down there at the Wells Fargo Center, and they see who can eat the most chicken wings just before the Super Bowl.
Okay. And then is that a predictor of the victor? Or?
No, it's its own unique event.
Oh, I see. Okay.
My buddy's at WIP there in Philadelphia. Put on the Wing Bowl each and every year.
Okay.
And this year's winner, Molly Schuyler, everybody. Molly Schuyler from Nebraska.
I don't know. How does this relate to?
Little 120-pound mother from Nebraska ripped through 363 chicken wings.
It looks like we're going to get a reversal. Oh, no. We've got vomit.
In 30 minutes. In a half an hour, she ate 363 chicken wings.
It's always the little skinny people.
120-pound little woman from Nebraska.
Yep.
She crushed the record previously held by
Kobayashi.
What?
Yes. She beat Kobayashi's record. And he is a professional competitive eater.
He's the best for 15 years, it seems like.
He's the best, world's best-known competitive eater, Takiro Kobayashi. It's crazy, man.
That's weird.
Blew my doors off when I got this news.
Ralph,
I didn't even have
did you ever attend the Wing Bowl in person?
Of course, of course.
Oh, you did? You were there?
Of course.
Did you ever compete?
It's a good time. Never competed. Mm. I was an amateur. Yeah. I dabbled, you know?
Sure.
I was a weekend eater. I was never a professional. So congratulations to Molly Schuyler. Speaking of congratulations, we get a lot of them this morning, and I want to thank everyone who listens to us on the Kevin and Bean podcast over there on Stitcher.com.
Yeah.
Stitcher held its annual podcast awards last night, and Hollywood Babylon won for Best Entertainment and Pop Culture Podcast.
Look at that.
On Stitcher.com.
So nice.
I know we share a lot of listeners, so I wanted to thank everybody who listens to us here on Kevin and Bean who voted for Babylon. That really meant a lot, and we're very pleased and proud. So thanks so much for
that. That's pretty cool. Lisa just threw up.
Yeah, I know. Lisa just threw up in her mouth.
Trying not to cough.
Sorry about that.
Thinking about the wings or thinking about somebody listening to Ralph's podcast?
I'm desperately trying not to cough. I'm so sorry.
She's been doing that all day.
This happens.
You have a mute button over there. Just push it.
I can't reach it from where I sit. This thing's not set up well.
CeeLo Green? It's right there. Just reach over
right
and hit it.
It's like this far away.
Need to hear that.
We've got vomit!
Yeah, really. Congratulations also to Ian Ziering and Tara Reid. They just signed their deals. They're coming back for Sharknado 2.
Yay!
That's what I'm talking about.
Sharknado 2, the second one.
That's
what they're calling it over there on Sci-Fi.
Well, that's the placeholder until
they had a competition.
Real title.
They had a competition on Twitter saying, come up with the best subtitle as you can for our sequel, Sharknado 2. And the one they thought was the best and most fitting was the second one, which is kind of funny.
Okay.
This time, instead of L.A. being the center of the Sharknado, the freak weather system, of course, which picks sharks up out of the ocean and then showers them down on unsuspecting people. This time, it's moving to the East Coast. New York City will be the victim of the Sharknado.
Okay.
So get your chainsaws. Get prepared. It's very exciting. In July, we'll see it. Sharknado 2. Johnny Depp's hoping that his fifth engagement will be a charm. I don't know how many times he's actually been married.
Yeah, I don't
know. Never?
Maybe.
I'm wondering never, too, because he wasn't married to Vanessa Paradis, right?
No, they were just long time.
Yeah, like 14 years together or something, though.
Long time cohabitators, but never married.
Hmm.
I want to think maybe he was married once before when he was real young.
Anyway, he had a Clooney.
He's been married. He's been engaged 5 times. This will be his fifth to Amber Heard.
Yeah.
And sources are telling Us Weekly magazine that Johnny says about Amber, she stimulates his mind in ways that no one else ever has. And by mind, he means...
Stop pointing there. Stop pointing there.
I'm just saying.
Right, we know. We get it.
The mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Got it.
The mind.
Stop making that motion.
The mind.
Look, you always marry a girl in her 20s for her mind. We all know that if you're in your 50s.
She looks like Amber Heard because Amber Heard looks like a reader.
Right. Research Department Christine comes through with one wife, Ralph, and she did have a Clooney. Back in the 80s, he was married to a woman named Lori Allison for just 2 years, 83 to 85.
I win!
There was no contest.
Ball!
There was no contest.
Johnny Depp is an insanely talented actor and seems like a very smart and very cool guy. But doesn't he seem like he'd be difficult to be married to? Am I wrong about that?
No, I don't
think so. Seems like he'd be a pain in the ass.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Everything I've ever heard about the guy says he's just completely down to earth, just a good time, very personable and fun, and his family loves him, and he's just a great guy.
Do you feel he
personally, that seems to be his rep, and when he's in the public eye, he seems a little reserved and a little almost shy sometimes when he's out, but I don't get the sense he's difficult at all. And yes, I think he showers.
You do,
he
really?
He lives in France.
He lives in France.
That's the law.
Oh. Look, he came out on it. Was it just the Grammys he came out on? He's just all mumbly and looking at the floor.
Well, that's his.
I don't know.
That's sort of his.
He didn't seem like a party.
And Bean
likes a party.
Saying that. He's not a banger, I guess. Johnny Depp. Oh, well. What are you going to do?
I wish them well, obviously. I hope it works out. I'm just wondering. Lisa, Johnny Depp look like a prize to you?
I can't tell. Honestly, he's so private. It's right. very hard to know what he's like.
He seemed really uncomfortable when he stepped on the stage of the Golden Globes, I thought.
I knew a guy that used to drive.
Well, there's a lot of people.
He was like taken aback,
right.
I think.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
I knew a guy that used to drive him around all the time when he came to town, and he had nothing but good things
I've
to say.
I've never heard a bad thing said
just
about the man.
Raves and raves about how nice and kind
generous,
and thoughtful.
Yeah, yeah really, just inclusive and just a terrific guy.
I want to marry him, I
do, too. I want to marry him. Let's get on the TLC network. We can have a multiple marriage. You, me, and Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. And
I like it.
Get Clooney in there. Let's just mix it up.
Maybe a couple of more chicks.
Well, whatever. Oh, now you're going to get picky?
Well, yes.
Oh, now there has to be vaginas involved?
But there's four guys and her?
Yeah, so, look. You can't be with the one you love. Love the one you're with.
That seems exhausting for her, though.
I don't want to take a number.
Back to you.
Diane Wiest, Oscar winner, is going to be guest starring on a couple episodes of The Blacklist coming up in March. It's been just announced. She will play the head of an organization that fights against the death penalty. Oh, I bet that's not all she is. There's something going on there, and that organization is harvesting babies out of women in comas or something.
That was the last
one. I know.
That was the last.
Nothing is ever as it appears to be on The Blacklist.
The adoption agency was the last episode.
Yeah, but still. But remember the other one? Isabella Rossellini? She was supposed to be fighting against women, sex trafficking.
That's right.
Remember?
That's right.
She was protecting all those women, and oh no, these are my girls, and I take care of them. And she was the one in the white slavery ring.
She was. Yeah.
No one's to be trusted on the Blacklist.
That's true. Why the list got to be black?
File.
I think so.
I think so too. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Marcus Mumford of Mumford and Sons is 27 years old today. Happy birthday to me. Today is my birthday. Today I turn 27. I'm going to have a piece of cake. I'm going to have a piece of cake.
Nice.
Justin Timberlake. JT to his friends like myself.
The good Justin, I call him.
33 years old today. Bobby Moynihan. He is 37 years old. Actress Kerry Washington of Scandal. He's 37 as well. Paul Shearer. Very funny man, is 38 years old. Portia de Rossi, you know and love her, of course, from Arrested Development and from Ellen DeGeneres' House. She's 41. Minnie Driver's 44. Kelly Lynch from Roadhouse, 55 years old today. Anthony LaPaglia is also 55. Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols is 58. And then the reason we've been celebrating all day long, the reason I've got my boogie shoes on, I've been throwing my groove thang around, Harry Wayne Casey of Casey and the Sunshine Band. He's 63 years old today. KC, hit it! Yeah.
Didn't have to write a lot of lyrics for his songs.
Well, you know, it was disco. A lot of people weren't listening. They were too high on coke, dancing to Studio 54. Banging Bianca Jagger.
All of them?
Yes. She was very busy.
She's tired.
And by Bianca Jagger, I mean.
Okay. Stop pointing at your junk.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. All new show on Monday morning. We have a full recap of the Super Bowl.
Go Denver.
Let's have LaQuisha.
Go Seahawks. Go Broncos.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Still into that whole pee thing, huh?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Just let it go.
Roll another one.
They never fail to disappoint.
Just like the other one.
Just happens.
It's what seems to be about to quit.
That went south so fast.
I mean, it looks insane. I've been to a lot of high school parties when I was in high school and college, and the worst thing that ever happened at my house was there was a cigarette burn in my mom's couch, and she got mad at me. That was it.
It's a good story.
Roll, roll,
roll,
another one.
This is Santa Monica.
Just like the other.
To sound a little ridiculous.
This one seems to be about meant.
What? What?
I don't have another cent.
Bring a bong, a bong, a bong, Burbank. Get
Glendale. Dude, that is awesome.
Just passing around.
I'm sorry, sir. I have no idea what you're saying.
And now, folks, my story is ended. I think it is time I should quit. If any of you feel offended, stick your head in a barrel of sh.
I'm shutting down this perverted place for good.
I guess your little business is over now. And you're welcome to say goodbye. So long and adios. Harry the Dutch. In short, you can get the hell out of here.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Just let it go.